This week's episode of Bro Stuff will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The Shining Wizards Podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
Hi, Anthony. This is Misty from Thousand Pound Sisters. Your wife and son wanted me to tell you happy birthday from me and them. April is a great month for a birthday because we have one of the best birthstones you can have. I love diamonds, and my birthday's in April too. I really hope you have a great day, honey, and congrats on turning 52. I'm almost right there behind you, honey. So you have a good day, and thank you so much for being a fan. Bye-bye.
All right, if you're here for bro stuff, I'm telling you, no stuff. With jizz in my hair, living life without a care, you're tuned into episode 788 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, coming to you live on social media, going with you wherever you go, on all of our streaming podcasting platforms. Casanova Valentine's joining us. Pat McAfee's another cocksucker fucking things up, along with TKO. We got tons of other shit to get into, so let's just jump right back into it. Boy, that felt good. With some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
A double T.
And some Kevin.
Fellas, I've been gone. I'm back, baby.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I really hope your wife got you something else besides that.
What's wrong with that? I thought it was cute. I thought it was nice. You know, it's one of my favorite shows.
What? Is it really, Tony? You really get into that?
I love Thousand Pound Sisters. Love that show.
What's the intriguing point of it? Just two fat shits and they record them. That's their life.
they're not fat anymore. Yeah, they're not really fat anymore. I mean, one of them's
kind of like skin. Oh, yeah. It's on at the gym for some ungodly reason. The fucking TLC really? Channel. The TLC channel's on at the gym, and sometimes I have to move after my workout. Like, after my workout, I'll go on the, like, elliptical for a little bit, and I'll move ellipticals and it's on because, like, fucking Dr. Pimple Popper is on. Gross, flabby skin messes. It's gross.
I love Dr. Pimple Popper too. Like this shit. She's always afraid she's gonna kill someone. She's like, oh, this is dangerously close to blah 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 blah. But like, she, nothing stops her from just fucking hacking away and taking body parts off of people. It's fucking crazy. But yes, I do enjoy Thousand Pound Sisters. As much as they fight and argue and have problems and whatnot, they're all kind of sweet and endearing in their own ways, and Misty's my favorite one. She's my
what are they fighting over, cake?
No, they don't get along, like, because one was like crabby, and then she's like, she married a dude but now she's got a girlfriend, like, yeah.
No, the one, the really fat sister, the one that everybody thought was going to die a couple seasons ago. She married a fellow while they were in like rehab together. And, well, now you're going to feel bad for laughing because shortly after the season wrapped and he got married, he fucking passed away. So there you go.
Yeah, suicide, was it?
No, he was fucking, he couldn't stop eating, bro. Bro, he had bags of shit. Like, she checked out of the rehab and she'd call him and he'd just have bags of shit behind him and she'd be like, what are you doing? He's like, I can't help myself. And then,
what a way to go.
I love the show, though. I love it. I love it, love it, love it.
What's the other sister's name?
Well, Tammy and Amy were the original 1,000-pound sisters. Those were the two sisters that the show started around. But then as the show went on, you found out they have two other sisters and a brother. So, like, Chris is their brother. They have Amanda, who's a third sister, and that was Misty. She's, like, the fourth sister.
Wait a second. So it's 1,000-pound sisters, but this is like a what, 4-ton family? What the fuck's happening here?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, every single one of them, not all on the show, but every single one of them have had the stomach like reduction surgery. And Chris's wife Brittany just had it done this season. So, like, in the grand scheme of the show, 6 of them have had the surgery done.
A lot of pudding in there.
Fuck yeah.
So there were two sets of 1,000-pound sisters.
Come on, wait for my best bro.
Hi, Molly. Tony's back. I'm back. Molly's back.
Rules in this house.
And she yelled anything for my best bro.
There was anger behind those punches. Who text her double T? Is that what happened?
Nope. I didn't text her at all.
Tony.
Nope.
You. Gosh, she even went like under the leg over here to get to the nuts.
Oh, she was on a mission, bro.
Yeah.
Was...
Jesus.
She got close. Almost got his nuts.
Did your wife get you another gift outside of a cameo from a melting candle of a person?
That's not nice. I like Misty. She's a sweetheart.
She's catching up to you, she said, Tony.
Oh, I know. She's right behind me. Oh, yeah.
You'd only be so lucky.
Oh, to dream, to wish.
How was your vacation, Tony?
Not as relaxing as I thought it was going to be. I wound up driving all over the fucking the East Coast of Florida, but, you know, it is what it is. A little time in Palm Beach, a little time in Pompano Beach, a little time in Fort Lauderdale, you know, just, you know, spreading around the Tony love.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it was good times. It was good times. Had a nice house with a heated pool.
All right.
I ate at Twin Peaks. I finally dined at Twin Peaks.
I don't know what that is.
HK, you know what Twin Peaks is, don't you?
Yeah, I've never been there, but it's essentially a Hooters double T. It's a classier Hooters.
It's like a country girl kind of Hooters.
You took your wife and teenage son to a classy Hooters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Right after we saw Toot.
Ha! Ha! Toot!
I was on the way back from seeing Toot in the wild. We were coming back. I said, oh, Twin Peaks. We got to eat. We're eating here.
Come on, Toot, to the peaks.
Did they have more than Hooters? Like, could you get like a super fancy grilled cheese, or did they just have like a menu like Hooters?
No, they had your typical, you know, bar food. It was like burgers and chicken and, you know, all kinds of apps. We had delicious apps like cheese balls.
I think it's just the no hot pants.
No, they all had their little shorty shorts on and their flannel shirts like tied over here at the belly button and shit.
Right. Where at Hooters, they got like the spandex hot pants.
Yeah.
So a little bit.
Oh. And stretch marks and bruises, you know. Got to say.
Depending on the shift.
A little bit of a classier woman at Twin Peaks, not going to lie.
And your wife was okay with this.
She don't care. Like, I was taking her to fucking Bada Bing to get a fucking laptop.
I don't know. You and your fucking kid are probably jerking each other off under the table.
Yeah, that's what we did. After he was done fisting my asshole, taking Easter eggs out, we jerked each other off.
Yesterday, HK, how was your Easter? It was okay. I go, the kid doesn't do the eggs anymore, does he? Yeah, I put him in my asshole and he looks in there for him.
Who says that? Who fucking says that about their teen, almost adult son? That's weird.
Every family has their tradition, right?
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with you?
Jesse's back. I spent Easter with Jesse yesterday.
Yeah, did he look for eggs? That's what he said.
Wolf.
No, he didn't look for eggs in my asshole.
Where did he look for them?
We didn't look for eggs.
Why didn't you look for eggs?
I was too busy watching baseball.
Oh, gotcha.
And him and my wife went striper fishing in the morning, and then my wife made those
like
delicious.
Striper like the band?
No.
No?
No.
Just dangling miners out there for them.
Although, you know what? Striper on Easter. To hell with the devil. Come on. They used to throw Bibles into the crowd.
Hey, Julio's back.
Keeping the family unit together. Julio. Fuck yeah,
dude. Nice to see you, Julio.
Keeping all the units together.
All right. So things are good. HK, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. I'm glad we're into the second quarter, man. The second quarter is where it's at, and I'm happy we're there. So I'm doing great. Doing great. How are you? How are you, Double T? That's important right now. How are you?
I'm great. I'm cosplaying the Jack next week. Because I am a fucking idiot.
So I didn't say it on the show last week, Double T.
Oh, you guys didn't. You could have. No.
I thought about, well, see, and I thought about it. I was like, you know what? It's not my story to tell, right? It's your story to tell if you want to tell it. But all I could keep on thinking was like, you got that giant jug, right? Right. And that's what fucked you over, right?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it did not. So it didn't end up being the jug.
Okay. See, because you told me the jug story, but then you told other folks like some other story, and I was wondering like why. Yes. There were two different stories going around.
Was not the jug. I initially thought it was the jug.
Not the jug.
Not the jug. Okay. I was rushing to get home last Sunday because last week was opening weekend of baseball, and I was done Sunday. And in between work and going to see Our Lady Peace, I had the afternoon off. So I was carrying a stack of dough boxes from the truck into the restaurant. And the back door did not open far enough.
Mm-hmm. You're looking for eggs?
I was not paying attention, so I was holding the dough boxes about chest to face width, okay. Like right in this area.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like went like this. And it didn't go this way. It came back and hit me right in my teeth.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I was like, man, that fucking hurt. And then I got in the truck and I was driving out the back alley and I went to take a sip out of my water bottle and somebody fucking ran in front of their driveway. So I slammed on the brakes. This tip is 100% like plastic, like rubber.
Yeah.
Like okay. It doesn't do the damage. So it was the dough boxes.
It was the dough boxes. Gotcha. Because in my head, how it played out was you were in traffic, right? Things were going slow, and you just kept on eyeing up your bottle, like picks up a little bit, like You know what? I think I could probably fit that whole fucking thing. And started like you were single throating the bottle. Got in a little traffic jam, busted it out. That's how I thought it played out.
Did not play out like that. So gotcha. I loosened two teeth, and then I went to the dentist last Monday, and they were like, okay, your mouth is a complete fucking disaster. They ripped out the four bottom teeth, and now I look like Cactus Jack until April 20th.
Yeah, we're getting this again next week?
Yes. I went back today for them to re-scan my face, where they're going to put my fake teeth. But they took the stitches out, so I'm all good. I just look like a fucking ghoul. More of a ghoul than usual.
Would you say a gobble ghoul?
I wish.
Hey, Charmaine's back in the chat too. Hey, Charmaine.
Hey, Charmaine.
Hey, Charmaine.
Mr. Al Day is there. I saw the Heenies are both in the chat.
Yes, Brundlefly, I believe he made it to Destination Pittsburgh. So,
fuck yeah! What's he going out there to? Go see the Heinz Factory?
I think he's. I know he's catching a baseball game tomorrow night.
What? That's a fair question.
No, it is. Like, and that's a fucking typical. Like, hey, maybe he's gonna go check out the Heinz Factory. But for some reason, you saying it and me and you hanging out in my head, it was something way dirtier.
Oh, like the Heine Factory?
Yeah. Jesus. It's great to have you back,
Mr. and Mrs. Heaney going to see the Heaney. Heaney.
Okay, we were sitting around last night, bullshitting, and I asked Melee, I go, when was the last time she got pile-drived, and everybody took it the wrong way.
Jesus,
dude. But I wasn't asking. It wasn't meant to be an inappropriate question.
Yeah, between the feet picks and the fucking pile drivers, what's wrong with
feet?
You?
There's no feet picks.
Julio!
He knows what he's saying.
Having those teeth out makes bro stuff a lot easier.
There'll be no bro stuff.
Well, not tonight. We preempted it.
Not ever with me. Well, it's good to have everybody back. It's good to be back.
Well, I mean, Brundo's not here, so not everybody's back.
Yeah, but Brundo and HK held down the ship last week with Handjob Kyle, and that was great.
Handjob, yeah.
I enjoyed that greatly. And Tony's back, and I'm here, and HK held the held the foot down.
Yeah.
Well, 98% of you is back, Double T.
96. It's 14 they took out.
No, all right, fair enough. Steiner math checks out.
Oh, and let me tell you this.
Oh, shit. Let me tell you something, dudes.
Right, so fucking, it's expensive. I don't have health insurance.
You're paying for fucking?
So, fucking, dude, even when it doesn't cost you money, it's fucking expensive.
Yeah. My wife is the financial guru of the relationship. No surprise there. So I text her like, hey, you need to come down here, like, or I'm going to put it on my credit card. Like, I don't know what the best plan of action is. So she's like, I'll be down there. She comes down, easy peasy, but when I'm done, I have to go get my prescription. But after they pulled my teeth out, I have to bite down on a piece of gauze.
Oh, you're telling this story?
So I have, here I am, right? I can't open my mouth, I can't talk, and I have like a piece of just gauze hanging out of my mouth. And of course, over time, it's trying to clot the blood, so it's filling up with blood. Across the street from the dentist is the ShopRite where we go for my prescription. So we go over there, and my prescription is not ready. Should be like 10 minutes. So we sit down in the chair. I don't like doctors. I don't like dentists. I pass out. Like something inside me, like when I was happening, I was good. But I started reading like the email they sent me, like what I have to do to take care of myself. Like, you can only eat soft food. You can't brush your teeth for a day. You can't spit. You can't have hot food. You can't I don't know. Something in me like it was like a reality. Rhiannon said I turned pale. I started sweating. I was covered in sweat. And then my eyes rolled into the back of my head and I just like fucking passed out.
Matt became the Undertaker.
Right in the middle of the shop, right? Someone asked Rhiannon if I needed Narcan. Right, and she's going Matthew, and I'm not responding. People are like, get him water, and she's like, he can't fucking drink, he just had mouth surgery. Meanwhile, I'm fucking laying there sweating, fucking bloody gauze coming out of his fucking mouth. Eventually the pharmacist gave Rhiannon like a wet towel to put on me, and I like came right to,
you know,
I'm here.
Fucking, it's almost annoying the similarities between me and you, Double T, because Molly handles all the finances, no problem. I'm not fucking with that. Also, I will fucking pass out if they draw blood. Like, if they're taking blood out of me, I'm fucking out. I'm done. And Molly has laughed at me because I've passed out while they're taking the blood. Yeah, can't do it. I'm with you, Double T.
Yeah.
Solidarity, no, brother. Solidarity.
Something else. And then I just couldn't really talk on Monday, so I sat out. But now I feel better. Things are moving up.
Yeah, you look good.
I feel good. Look, you can't eat anything, so I've been eating yogurt and protein shakes, and I'm down like 6 pounds.
What a boy. Nice.
I got some throat yogurt for you if it'll help.
Some throat meal cookies?
Always got to go there. Always. Then you wonder why you have so many drops.
The cabin, you fucking retard.
Very nice.
Really? The R word? That's not nice.
You said it, not me.
That might be a little sticky on Menards. Menards. That was rape night. Now it's rape juice.
Can't have one without the other.
Menards. You do this to yourself.
I feel like Al's last name should be Menards instead of Day.
Tropic Al Menards?
Yeah, like Al Menards. Al Menards!
Tropic Al Menards.
So, Tony, you mentioned it in the open.
Yep.
It's been teased for like 2 or 3 weeks. Randy Orton's been on the phone with somebody. So many guesses. It's he's talking to himself. He's talking.
Yeah, his voice was coming from T-Mobile.
He's talking to Arn Anderson. Like there were so many different things. The big reveal was Friday night, and it was fucking Pat McAfee.
I didn't think it was as bad as everybody's making it sound out to be. Like, I get it. Like, yeah, where the fuck did this come from? But when he started cutting that promo about how wrestling's changed and it kind of played off to what he was saying a couple of weeks ago, like the business passed him by. Like, I get it. It makes sense. Just the fact that it was so out of left field. Like, that's the head scratcher. And I think that's where the issue's coming from.
Like, did we need Stephanie McMahon at the Garden? Do we need Pat McAfee with Randy Orton? Wasn't Cody and Randy enough?
I didn't mind Stephanie. No, first of all, it should have been Randy and fucking Claymore. That's what it should have been.
Yes.
But with Stephanie giving him that pep talk, I didn't mind that at all. I thought that was a great way to use her to come out and tell him, like, you better be on your shit. Didn't Randy Orton break into their fucking house when he was feuding with Triple H years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like she knows just how fucking evil and sadistic and rotten Randy Orton can be. But now that he's got Pat McAfee in his corner, holy shit, dude, the sky's the limit. No?
No.
All right. Island here.
What about HK? You're probably the most in tune with the WWE, so what do you think here?
I don't love it. I'm very, I like to let things breathe even if I hate them. You know what I mean? I try to mentally, right? I still want to see where they're going and what's going to happen next, because I think too often we get sucked into what's happening right now instead of the where could it go and what it's going to be. When I initially found out that it was Pat McAfee, I was not like happy about it. You know what I mean? Like out of all the different routes that they could have taken and all the different things they could have done. Having it be Pat McAfee was to me a pretty big disappointment. With that being said, I enjoyed the promo that he cut. You know what I mean? I think that if they didn't do that promo, the whole thing was kind of a dump, but the promo lifted it up a little bit from being a dump. You know what I mean? I'm still not super pumped about it, but you know, there's when they leave this type of a mystery, and you have your hopes up, right? And you get your hopes up, and they build up, and they build up, and who could it be? And when you're talking about, like, maybe it's The Rock, or maybe it's, you know, fucking Ric Flair, or whoever else it could be, and then they trot fucking Pat McAfee out. It's gonna fall flat. I did enjoy the promo, though. I'm not a giant fan. I do want to see what's next, but I'm not super happy about it.
We got True Prince of Pro, our buddy Matt. It should have been Shane McMahon on the phone to at least make the Stephanie McMahon promo make sense. Brundle Fly from a CD hotel in Pittsburgh doing the Heine stuff. Everyone hated Danhausen on night one of him. I'll give it another week.
Not everybody.
That's true. And McAfee was on his show today going after the IWC. And
good.
They don't know what's good for them. I don't know. I feel like there's so many outside entities that are going to be involved in WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. We did the stupid iShow speed thing
on fucking Raw, and now LA Knight crashes his fucking stream, so that's a WrestleMania match. Jelly Roll is supposed to be in a tag match. Lil Yachty, is that a person? Did I just make up that name?
Nope, that's a person.
He's going to be with Trick Williams at WrestleMania? Like, fucking enough. Tell me you have no faith in your superstars because you keep bringing in all these outside celebrities.
Yeah, no shit. I don't know what the fuck the point. Like, I don't mind when they mix one in. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take one, right? One is fine. One gets a pass. But if you start doing three and four, and get the fuck out of here. I want to watch a wrestling show.
Right. And it's not like they're like timekeeper, ringside. They're doing the ringing the bell, right? These people are going to fucking matches at WrestleMania. You have arguably the most talented roster in all of wrestling, and you can't find fucking a spot for any of these people. You can't make a compelling match. No, we got to bring in fucking iShow Speed to wrestle LA Knight. LA Knight deserves so much better.
Yeah, and I don't think how much of this comes down from above. You know what I mean? Because I'm guessing a fair amount is coming down from above. I don't think that this is all like played out in the, on WWE. We'll see on WWE Unreal, right? We'll find out. But well, I really don't think that this is a directive from that creative room. I think it's a directive from above that creative room.
Yes. According to multiple sources, Mike Johnson, Dave Meltzer, the Pat McAfee thing was a TKO Ari Emanuel thing, and Pat did not want to do it.
Well, and I like that from Pat, though. You know what I mean? Like that shows his respect, because I think he's got a great deal of respect for professional wrestling. So, and I'm not going to be mad at Pat for doing something that he's, asked to, like, that's the job, right? And I think that even given the circumstances with that promo, he did a fantastic job with this promo. But I do not like the idea of those fucking, the ivory tower corner office fuckers saying this is what the wrestling show needs to be. Because no, we've seen it play out before. They don't fucking know what the wrestling show needs to be.
What I tweet yesterday, Ari Emanuel is Jim Herd.
Yeah, I gotta get the fucking Spartacus mask for goddamn Claymore.
David YWG 204. I heard this was the place to be Monday night. Got to hook up at Dynamite last week. Welcome, David. Thanks for
giving me.
So it's, I don't know, man. Like,
what is the YWG? Your wet gash? That's what David's looking
only
for.
Only David could answer that. Like you guys talked about it last week, HK. Like, I don't, like, every couple months is a stadium show. Every PLE is 3 hours long. It's five matches. It's the same length as Raw and SmackDown. And it just never, like, I know it's WrestleMania. It just doesn't feel like it. Like, Penta's the IC champion, and it's like, well, let's have a ladder match.
Yeah.
Seth is clear. Let's have Gunther attack him. Let's not build that. Let's have it fucking 18 days before Mania. Like, I don't know. We're just like, then I'm sure they're going to have great matches, but it's like, if I want a great match, I'll watch AEW, right? I want, like, a story. I want, pull me in.
Yeah.
I want to be invested.
Yeah, and that's part of, I think that's one of the problems that we hit with WrestleMania right now, is that the build itself outside of, and I think even with the McAfee stuff, I think that the Cody and Orton build has been pretty good. But outside of that, point to the good builds. You know what I mean?
Oba and Brock.
You're right. You're right. Ray went right over my head. Oba and Brock.
What about the Beast Women, the tag division?
No, stop. No.
I'm interested.
Stop. They're telling stories with it. They're building to it.
Nobody wants them. What's it going to be? It looks like we're going to get the fucking Lash and Nia against the Bellas, against Bailey and Lyra, against Alexa and Charlotte.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be on WrestleMania. That's another thing. Everybody doesn't have to be on fucking WrestleMania.
iShow Speed has to be on WrestleMania.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, there's like
somebody, let me cut you off though, because I was watching Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret. He redid WrestleMania 17 as like his video for this week. you know, he does a review, he rates with the matches, whatnot. But he's like, there's a lot of people complaining about the lack of build to WrestleMania this year. Go back and try to figure out what was happening going into like some of the older WrestleManias. Like he even said, WrestleMania 17, not every one of these matches was like months of storylines. Like a lot of this shit was thrown together too. Why didn't we mind it so much then?
I don't know. You go back to like 5, 6, 7, like there were like 3 marquee matches and there were Dino Bravo and fucking Hercules. Like
that was WrestleMania though. That was,
yes,
that was,
I get it.
Not every match has to be a fucking, like, you know, like, oh my God, there's a 6-month backstory behind it.
But that was WrestleMania in an era when your TV matches were predominantly this guy versus Jobber, right?
Yes. Yeah, maybe we need to get back to that.
I think we do.
Yeah.
Did you see that WWE Vault just released Best of Sid Squash Matches?
Hell yeah. Awesome. Can't wait.
Awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
It's awesome. Wait.
Who's assigning homework tonight?
HK.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I want to watch a Sid squash.
There's like, also HK, very disappointed in you guys last week. And I told you this in a text. The amount of bro stuff you guys talked about last week, not one person.
Thanks, JR.
Not one Persian. Mentioned the fucking CM Punk jizz line. I thought that was gonna open the show.
Well, we didn't get pictures of it.
But even like, there's a couple, like I, Dom and Finn, I'm interested to see that.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. There's a long story there. Oba and Brock, Drew and Jacob Fatu should be something. Joe and Phil are really like, I don't know. It's the same thing every week on Raw.
Yep.
Yeah, they end really is. The same way.
Although I did like how Jay egged on Roman, and he's like, "Get him, Moose, get him," and he's like, he fucking snapped and he got him.
Yeah. I wish they would have started that first promo where they both did fantastic with each other. I wish they would have announced and not been a face-to-face promo until that one, maybe last week or the week before, probably last week. And then this past confrontation that they had could have happened this week and just kind of build up that way. I think there would have been more there, but closing Raw every week with a back and forth between them, I think has taken a little bit of steam off of it.
Yeah. They could have easily had that first promo and then skipped a week, you know?
Yep. I agree.
There's a Penta threw out a challenge for a ladder match.
Yeah.
But
because he's a fighting champion.
Right. But then I think they were having qualifying matches on main event. Before that was announced. And it's like all people who haven't been on fucking TV in months.
Whoops.
I don't know, man. I just I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. Maybe next year's Mania in Saudi Arabia will be better.
We'll see if it even fucking happens at this rate. I heard they might have to cancel the one this
Yeah, summer. They're a little worried about what's going on with Iran, so
it should be.
Oh, of course they should.
The old John Cena's gonna host WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's fun, I guess. I wonder what kind of limited edition John Cena shirt we're getting for Mania.
Are you gonna buy it? Did you don't fucking buy
John Cena? No, I'm not gonna fucking buy it. What are you out of your balls? I didn't buy a shirt at Twin Peaks. I would have bought that before a John Cena shirt.
Oh, is that Twin Peaks merch? You were so excited to go and you didn't.
I know. I didn't think about it.
Are you going to get one of those fucking booby shirts?
I think I got a red flannel somewhere in the attic.
Oh, did you wear your fucking handicap shirt that Handsome Kevin got you?
No. Although, I've been watching this show on Netflix. I forget what it's called. I think it's called Inside. They put like YouTubers and like social media influencers like on a show. It's like your typical Survivor or, you know, like they do events and you know, somebody gets eliminated, they put people up for elimination, like the same stupid shit, right? And there was a kid that I remember, a guy that was a contestant on one of them, where he was like lying to people saying like he's got two little kids at home and he wants to make sure like that they can go to college and this and that, so people feel sorry for him. Now, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but if you got on one of these shows, it was just like, hi.
When the fuck do I get ice cream?
Yeah, and like, but just like, not like over the top, but just like that. Over the top, but just like that. And then when you go to the booth to talk to the camera, you go, yo, I'm fucking with everybody. I'm winning this shit. And then you come back out, you're like, hi.
Am I watching? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Like a Eugene kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like Eugene.
I do enjoy the Mountie.
Thank you, Double T.
Hey, Ty the Sign Guy. Welcome aboard, brother.
Hey, Ty.
Thanks for checking us out, Ty. We will ask Casanova when was the last time he shit his pants, so hang out.
Oh, all the Manitoba folks, that's the 204. I gotcha.
Why do you know the area code?
I fucking Googled it. That's what I do. I don't know the answer. I fucking figure it out.
I thought you looked it up on Facebook.
I thought you were like some kind of like zip code savant.
Fucking zip code Rain Man over there.
07044.
Definitely Winnipeg. Winnipeg, definitely Winnipeg.
I'm on a Netflix show. They locked me in a room.
It's an area code, not a zip code, you dipshit.
Like anyone still has a fucking landline.
I do.
Of course you do. You probably.
And I have a fucking fax machine. Fight me, bro.
Yeah, and you have a fucking fig tree in your backyard, too, you fucking guinea.
I wish I had a fig tree.
Hey, I had a good laugh because,
yes, we did interview the Macho Manitoban, Ty. You should check that episode out.
He was one of my favorites.
I'm sorry, Double T. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So I had a laugh this week.
Nobody takes a dump in front of me.
So there was that unfortunate dive that Io Sky had on Monday Night Raw, right? You saw the dive. She got caught.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, oh, she fucking tumbled, right? It's a big fucking to-do. My favorite fraud, Peter Rosenberg, got online and he... you know, he made some valid points, but at the end of the day, like, you're not a fucking professional wrestling. Like, you don't, just because you work for the WWE doesn't mean, like, you can, whatever. So he goes and then he starts arguing with Chris Hero. Chris fucking Hero, who for a better part of the early 2000s to 2015 is one of the best wrestlers in the world. He said, school is in session. When he was going to teach Chris, he was going to teach Chris Hero something. So I thought that was pretty entertaining. I always thought Peter Rosenberg was a fraud. Like when he did our show and he couldn't tell us his favorite Survivor Series. Like, I don't know. If you're like a hardcore wrestling fan, you have a favorite Survivor Series. HK, favorite Survivor Series?
Yeah, I probably have to go 1990.
Yeah, see? Tony?
Probably 96.
There you go. See, well, he was like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, Brett and Austin.
Brett and Austin for the first time. We got fucking Cosmo Kramer version of Rocky Maivia.
Fucking Mankind with the spike in his knee.
Jimmy Snuka came back.
What?
We got fucking Barry Windham as the fucking Widowmaker.
Rock's pay-per-view debut.
No, yeah. He was the Night Stalker.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Or the Stalker.
Just call me a Rosenberg.
I don't know. I always thought he was a fraud. So I got that tickled me. I had fun, but I thought that was funny. I get a kick out of shit like that. Cast joining us shortly. They're going to release that Hogan. The Hogan. Jesus Christ.
Hogan.
Hogan. That's a great question. David. There's Cast. David asked, did you guys have a great Easter weekend? That's a great question. Did you guys enjoy your Easter?
Yeah, everybody went spelunking for eggs.
You know who I bet loves a good spelunking?
Who?
I mean, if I had to guess, Wait the fuck, Tony. Where the fuck's the... Oh, no, Tony.
You think Cass likes the spelunking?
I'm thinking he might. Where's the fucking three? Where's the three? I guess we're going four.
Bathrika? Where's Bathrika?
Yeah. No, what... Dude, what? Stop it.
Whoa, what is this? Wow, yeah, here we go.
Hello, Mr. Cass.
Am I on?
You're on, buddy.
Yes, you're in the show.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
One thing Casanova Valentine loves is spelunking.
I didn't take you for a spelunker.
I did. I like to dive some caves, you know.
All right, but what kind, like? Because we're what kind of caves are we talking here?
Ass caves.
Hey, just you know, I think I'm slightly delayed a little bit.
Oh, I said ass caves.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you never know, dude.
Cass, thank you for joining us. Big week and coming up. April 18th, Dive Bar Vegas. How is... Look, you have been in the deathmatch scene for a long time. You guys do things differently. No ring, no ropes. For somebody who's never seen something like this, describe it. Like, are you guys just wrestling on a fucking dirty old floor?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Basically, so I've got, before I go up to Mania Week, I've got this Saturday, Atlantic City, got ICW. I'm in a four-way match with, I think, Hoodfoot, DeBev, and Slade. For ICW, and then Monday I fly to Vegas. I've got a couple no ring matches. Then I got a match for Rise Underground. I think I got like four or five bookings during Mania Week. And then my show is I run a company called New Fear City, which is a no ring bar fight promotion. And I'm really excited about this match I'm bringing. It's a match I made up. It's called the Seance of Suffering, and so it's a no ring. No rope barbed wire. So I have the fans literally hold up the barbed wire fence and we wrestle inside of the barbed wire. I was trying to think of how I could do a no rope barbed wire without a ring, and I settled on making my friends wear gloves and holding it up.
The friends or fans?
Both. My friends won't sue me, so my friends.
Now, look, something like this, right? We saw what happened like 2 weeks ago with that fucking crazy guy attacking Cruel. Like, are you ever, like, is that ever a concern for you? Like, one of these fucking crazy maniacal wrestling fans going after you? Especially here, there's no ring, there's no ropes.
Well, think about this. I've been, I don't know if I've ever met any of you guys in person or not, but I was a bouncer in New York City from 18 till a couple years ago. So I've been stabbed in real life. Outside of wrestling, I've been stabbed, all that dirty, nasty stuff. So I guess I'm not that worried about it. You know what I mean? Here's another thing, too, is my bar shows, to the untrained eye, they look like chaos. And a lot of the old vets are like, Cass, this is garbage wrestling, and you can really work. What are you doing? But really, if you actually really watch my shows, you realize it's more Memphis than anything. I'm walking and talking. I'm working the crowd. I don't really bump, you know. I might bump through something for the finish. But it's actually more of a controlled chaos. I do such a good job that it looks like sloppy blood fighting. Because I'm so good at it that I can protect the crowd, get everyone through it. So I'm actually... You know, it actually is a craft to make it look that unhinged while keeping everyone safe. So we actually do a really good job of crowd control, the referee passing messages, the camera guys. And, you know, it is a crazy thing, but this will be my 176th no-ring fight. So I've actually really honed the skill that it takes to keep everyone safe.
Hey, when did you go Hollywood?
When did I go Hollywood? So I was out in LA wrestling for a company called Circle Six. They had hit me up. They wanted to do a show called Barroom Blitz, which was basically my no ring shows, but in Hollywood. And so I moved out to LA for a year. I started trying to do stand up comedy, try to get in the stunts for movies. I don't know if you saw, but Mick Foley mentioned maybe me being one of the people that could play him, which was really cool. It ended up not happening, but it was still kind of cool to be mentioned, you know? So I was trying to like further my career and stuff. And back home, I still run my company, New First City. So I started getting some resentment from some of my fans. Oh, you live in LA now, yada, yada. So I just kind of decided to lean into it, you know? So I shaved my beard. Oh, not many people shave their beard and cut their hair and become a bad guy. But I shaved it all off. And I was like, I'm Hollywood cast. I'm sold out. So it's funny is I no longer work for that company, Circle Six. And I'm actually back in upstate New York right now. So everyone's like, oh, go back to Hollywood. I'm like, I wish I would. I wish I could. But right now I'm just a bad guy. Hollywood cast is bad right now.
And you're going, you and Beastman on the 18th, huh?
Yeah, so I did a tour with Big Japan Wrestling a couple of years ago, and Beastman ended up going over to Big Japan after me, and we're both big dudes. I usually have the long hair, so he had a really good matches over there, and that was his. He's a good wrestler too, but that was the first time really watching him do deathmatch. So since that, there's been Japanese fans that kind of wanted to see us fight. And it's been a kind of just like, at this point, I've been wrestling for like 13 years or so. So I just kind of want interesting matches, matches that I, you know, I think would be fun. So me, Beastman, and a no ring barbed wire in Vegas, I just thought would be fun. Well, it's really funny. Can I just say, I told Circle Six when I was still working for them, I was like, the only match I want is the new Hayabusa. I think that would be the coolest one. And everyone fought me. Like, oh, no one knows no Hayabusa. I'm telling you, that's the match. And the GCW announced him all week. And I'm like, I told you, motherfuckers. You know, like, I was trying to make the Hayabusa match happen. But I'm really happy to have Beastman. I think it's going to be just really fun, especially because, you know, no rope barbed wire. You want to tease the ropes and, you know, get antiquated. But a guy like Beastman is, you know, crazy, a lot of power. So I don't know how long I'll be able to avoid the wire for. So it just makes an interesting match, you know. And usually I'm the bigger guy. So for me, that's another interesting thing to see how I deal with his size, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let me ask. You were out in California, right? So we do a thing on the show where we watch homework every week. And Tony assigned us some horrendous deathmatch wrestling. Featuring Mr. California.
Okay, I can tell you all about it. Okay.
Are you familiar with Mr. Mr. California wrestled?
I know Mr. California, yeah.
It was some clown. Awesome. I have a
book. Some clown? Yeah. Is this recently?
Yeah, it was a dude in a clown mask. It was the first ever XWW like deathmatch championship something or other.
I have it in my notes somewhere here.
I think his promotion's XWW or something like that.
XWW Pro, not Amazon.
Hey, I'm going to tell you guys this real quick, okay? Listen, I'm going to tell you something real quick. Mr. California, is he a good wrestler? No. Does he have a horrible social media presence? Yes. Did he pay me my full rate up front? Yes. And that's a lot more than I can say about a lot of promoters. So a lot of people like to talk shit about Mr. California, but hey, he paid me cash. I got no problem with him. So, and he paid me more than a lot of people. So, hey, he's okay in my book, you know?
He also gives opportunities. As a matter of fact, in this match that we're talking about, it was the debut of the Evil Clown Rampage. So this guy was getting a championship shot his first time out.
All right. Well, also, I'll say this. The one sole time I wrestled for Mr. California when I moved to L.A., he actually flew out a New York worker named Oni King, who I use for New First City, who's very good. And so, all jokes aside, you know, he tries to give his guys matches. He knows he's limited at what he does, and to be fair, he kind of does his own thing. You know what I mean? He's not coming after anybody. He just kind of does his own shitty thing by himself. So I know it's fun to make fun of him, but there's people in power who I think pay people less and treat people worse. You know what I mean? So what it's worth, you know what I'm saying?
What?
Wait. Did you happen to see the match, though? Do you know the match we're talking about?
I saw a flyer for it. I know it's going to be horrendous. I know it's not going to be good. But do you want to watch it? Are you going to show me clips, or what do you want? No.
Well, I mean, long story very short, about 2 minutes into the match, the action stops, and Mr. California is just on his knees and letting Rampage, the evil clown, mind you, in his debut match, start using him as a pin cushion. Stuck about, 12 or 15 hypodermics in him?
Syringes.
In his arms, in his cheeks, in his legs, in his stomach, everywhere. Just sat there and took it, dude. Just sat there and just let him stick all these things in him.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I guess this is my feeling. I'll tell you real quick. Are you guys New York or New Jersey? Where are you guys from?
Jersey. And then the guy above you is Minnesota.
Jersey. Minnesota. Okay. Are you familiar with Gino Caruso?
Of course.
Brody trained at Gino Caruso's school like 20 years ago.
Okay.
More than that, Jim.
Let me just give you an example of where the mind of Casino Valentine is coming from, okay? Is Mr. California the shit? Yeah. Is it awful? Of course. But he stays in his own lane. He pays his guys. He runs out of a little small dojo. He's not hurting anybody. Who gets fungal, you know? But I see people online who are big clout chaser wrestlers. Oh, I got to be in a clusterfuck. I got to get my 2 minutes. I got my spot. Jimmy Lloyd's going to stab me. I got to get my 2 minute thing in the clusterfuck. And they talk shit about these other fringe guys. Gino Caruso has been running consistently for over 30 years. He does a show with god-awful old vets, but he stays in his own lane. He's not on Twitter. He's not part of the wrestling internet community. And who cares if the show sucks? They're for kids. And he runs once a month all over the East Coast, pays himself, pays the boys, rents his ring. You know what I mean? So it's easy to say, yeah, those shows suck, yada, yada, yada. But it's almost refreshing. They do their own thing. They're not online. There's no one talking about the Canadian destroyer that happened at Gino Caruso school. No one expects Mr. California to have the hot match. You know what I mean? They're almost free. They're almost free. You know what I mean? They suck. Let them go suck. You know? If it's a business, Gino Caruso's doing the best. I mean, you know?
Cass, you said like 13 years in the business, maybe a little longer. What made you decide to start your own promotion?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, especially in wrestling, you get a lot of guff if you're the booker and you book yourself and you put the belt on yourself. And it's always looked at, you know, as a real, you know, shitty thing to do, blah, blah, blah. But, and there's pros and cons to that. And I can see that point of view. But for me, the reason I ran my own promotion is, A, I don't have to wait for anyone to book me sitting around twiddling my thumbs waiting for someone to give me a good payday. I know I draw, and I'll pay myself. And I know I'll show up. I know I'll show up. You know, people last second blow off of fungal, I have an anxiety attack, or I got my sister's bar mitzvah, niece's bar mitzvah, or, you know what I mean? I know I'll show up. I know I'll draw. And instead of paying me a normal rate, I run the show. Also, I don't know if you noticed, I don't rent a ring. So half my overhead's already gone. So people can talk all the shit they want, but I've been running consistently for over 6 years, New First City. I have a Vegas show every year. And like a drug dealer, move in silence. They don't need to know how good I'm doing. You know what I mean?
I like it. I'm gonna guess you're like, maybe you're a little Italian. You've thrown out a couple fangools.
Yeah, I'm Italian. I don't know if you picked that up.
Can we get a wrestler gabagool?
A gabagool?
Yeah, gabagool wrestler.
Like he's like a ghoulish?
Yeah, he wears like a gabagool mask.
We got a Dominic De Niro is the Italian wrestler that we used, and he's out on a knee injury right now. But he comes out with a track jacket, and he uses gabagool in the match. So like he'll like staple gabagool to people. He'll do the mandible claw with gabagool. So we have some Italian representation in the. The Casanova Valentine's a bar fighter, but you know the real me is a nice Italian boy. So,
I fucking love it. I love it.
You fucking staples gabagool to people. Holy shit!
Yeah.
Now, for you, is Vegas all work, or is there going to be a little pleasure out there?
Vegas is going to be fun. I've ran consistently Mania Week. I do a show. My show is called Murder Mania. I've been running consistently since the New York. So I've done Vegas, Dallas, Tampa, wherever the fuck it's been. But I've been following it consistently. Philly. So I've learned early to take less bookings. When I first started doing these, I was doing like 3 shows a day and just grinding the whole week out. Now it's in Vegas. I'm older. I want to do my big show, make my money on my big show. I took a couple other bookings, but I'm looking to just have a good time. I like to also support my friends, see their shows, you know. Also, I like to be hungover and not have to wrestle. So I got days in between. So I've learned now to not do 13 matches, get fucked up, get up and do another day show. I'm going to, at 39 years old, I'm going to stop punishing myself. So I'm going to try to enjoy Mania Week a little bit, you know, this time.
What's your poison?
You tell me, baby. bars that don't close are a problem for me. So, but I'm more of a beer whiskey guy, you know. Our show's at the Dive Bar. Dive Bar doesn't close. So we have no end time on our show. Wow. So we're just going to go all night and see what happens, you know?
What's your least favorite thing about being the owner, promoter?
Well, I'll tell you this. One who I wish my gimmick was, I wish I decided years ago to be the bounce breakfast, 8 hours of sleep guy. Why did I have to be the bar fight guy? Getting drunk all night and staying out. But God, I wish I was. Bounce breakfast, you know what else I was thinking I should have been? I should have come out with a QR code and it's like tip that guy, and everyone pays me extra money. That should have been my gift. Okay.
Not everyone. Fighting,
I'm in too deep, I'm stuck with it.
What's let me ask, we ask all the deathmatch guys, is there anything on the like? I don't want to take that. Like the skewers, the gusset plates. Like, is there anything where you're like, no?
Oh. I have no. Here's the thing. I have no problem saying no. And the reason I have no problem saying no is there's two type of deathmatch guys. There's the guys that are local guys coming up who are not yet on the international scene. And then there's me who's on the international scene. And this is not me being cocky or rude, but I wrestle is my job. Every weekend, you know, like this is my job, or this is my shoot job. So I can't take all the shit every time because I got to get on a plane and go to another city. You know what I mean? Especially like I'd have no problem coming in and putting a new good guy over who's like this local guy they're trying to build up. Sure. But I've been wrestling deathmatch a long time. I've really paid my dues. So brother, you got to take the bump. You know what I mean? Like, I got to make another town. If we're going to do business and build up and talk and do more things, sure, I'm open. I've taken my fair share of everything, but I know I got to do this every weekend for the rest of the year. Some of these guys only wrestle once a month, and that's no dig or anything. It's just the reality is I can't be taking those huge scaffolding bumps. You know what I mean? I got to get to the next show. So right. I'm willing to work it out and we can talk about it. But stuff I usually say no to, I did dry ice one time. Burnt me really bad, so no more dry ice. I did a cactus in Texas, and I had things coming out of me for months. But the most injuries I've actually had hasn't really been the gimmicks. It's I'm a big guy, so a lot of these little guys think they could just jump on me like a beanbag chair. So I've had 7 broken ribs in my career. And that is by far the fucking worst. Is also because I wrestle, like I said, I'm wrestling with broken ribs. I never get a chance for them to heal because I already have months in advance booked and I got to make my next city. They've already sold tickets and I've already made the merch. So here I am. The most painful thing is just getting through the matches with a broken rib, let alone the glass and gussets and, you know, I guess for me, like the glass and gussets and cuts and blood, that's just superficial. I guess I'm immune at this point. That stuff doesn't hurt me or bother me. You know, like I said, in my normal life, I've been stabbed. You know, it's the broken ribs. It's just the big injuries like that really, because you can't even heal. You can't even heal because there's no time off. You know, right. People don't realize. Like some wrestlers will say, like, you know, they see a match of mine, oh, Cass sucks. And I'm like, what match are they talking about? I'm like, I had 2 fucking broken ribs in that match, had to call the whole thing, and had to drive 10 hours home. Like, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, they just see that 10-minute clip. They don't realize I just took a swanton dive in Canada the weekend before, had to make my way down to that show, tape my ribs up, told the guy not to give me any bumps on the ground, still hit me with something. Pissed me off, had to get through it, then go to the next town. You know what I mean? Like, this is my job, you know? So it's just that the injuries is say no to the deathmatch stuff. Like, I mean, the last big thing I said no to was I wrestled Tank in Atlantic City for ICW a couple years ago. And he wanted to give me, and this is all due respect, I love Tank, but he wanted to give me a double stomp off the top of a ladder. And I'm like, I just can't do it, Tank. I've had too many broken ribs. I can't look up there and wait for you to come down double stomping me. I just can't do it, man. You're too big, dude.
Did you take the drill, though, when you wrestled Louis?
I wrestled Louis a bunch of times. He never had the drill, though. Aww. You never had that with him. We've had just miscellaneous dicks, but not the drill down. Also, I love Low Life Louie. If you guys know him, I love him.
Louie is we gave him a Shining Wizards Lifetime Achievement Award. It is a dildo wrapped in barbed wire.
Perfect.
Louie's the fucking best.
Yeah, Louie rules.
I love Louie.
If we can't be in Vegas, can we watch the new Fear City show on the 18th?
Yeah, so here's the thing about my company is I don't like to do live streams for my shows because my shows, we got go-go dancers, jelly wrestling, bands, and it's more of a party. So it doesn't really lend itself to a live viewing because you're going to have to watch the band set up and you're going to have to, you know. So I have a full team that films and edits everything and release every single show. What? How many shows? Every single show. Release every single show for free on my YouTube. So you can watch every show that we've ever done, every past Murder Mania, every 4th of July show. And we always have a quick turnaround. Like we just did a 3-on-3 War Games, no ring cage. And we're recording commentary tonight, actually. And it should be out by the next couple days. And that show was just this last Sunday. So you can watch every new Fear City show on the Castle Valentine YouTube channel. I like to edit them and put commercials in them and the hype videos. For me, it's part of the art, too, putting the show together, you know? So, but yeah, you can watch every new Fear City show for free. I'll send you guys the link.
That'd be great. We have a question from our chat. Our street team leader, SJ, wants to know, who would be your dream match opponent who you would love to book for your promotion? Cass, did we lose you? Oh, no.
He gone.
What happened? We were out. Oh, man. Cass. Steve, can you hear me? Oh, you got to bust this poor guy's balls.
I will remember you. Don't let your will you. And I saw my reflection. Oh, hey.
Oh, it's T-Donk.
Hey, I'm here with local news.
No, no, well, please, God, no local news.
Oh, yay, local news.
Well, let's see if he jumps back in, and we'll get in some last-minute plugs, and then we'll let him go about his way, because we have a bunch of other shit we got to talk about tonight. HK, would you ever work no rope, no ring match, like as a manager?
I don't know in that capacity, like, because it's no rules, right? Like, what the fuck? Like,
and the rules too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And if there's a manager out there and there's no rules, why am I not just always fucking taking cheap shots and getting involved the entire thing and running? You know what I mean? So I just don't know that it's a manager friendly situation. I think we might have him back.
All right. Do we have
maybe?
Him back?
Maybe.
It's there.
Maybe.
We might not have him back.
No rope, no rings, no Wi-Fi. I was having such a good time with him.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the circle of death right now. That's what he's got.
You spin my head right.
I never had an Xbox, but the people I live with, they had one. You get the red ring of death. Oof.
I had one come back from the red ring of death.
Whoa.
Like Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He is risen.
Yeah. It was down for maybe just over a month, I suppose. And I was playing again.
I actually had to ship my original Xbox 360 back to Microsoft because I got the Red Ring of Death, and they shipped it to Mexico. They actually tracked the whole thing. They repaired it, sent it back to Washington, and then got shipped back over here. It took like 2 weeks.
Yeah. See, I didn't, I just fucking ignored it. And I ended up playing a bunch of like Tecmo and Nintendo games on my computer. Then one day I was like, I'm going to fire this up again. It worked.
Interesting.
So what do we say here with this cast situation?
I'm talking to him right now.
What do you hear? What do you say? All right. While we're doing that, let's do this. He's back.
There we go.
Oh.
He's back.
Here we go. There he is.
Hey, yes. Okay, good. I was like, did I fuck that up? Sorry.
Nah, technology, man, technology. So I don't know if you heard the question. One of our listeners wants to know your dream deathmatch opponent, who you would love to book for your promotion.
Okay, not wrestling, Cactus Jack. Dead,
whoa.
Hayabusa, living, that could actually, I could actually book, given the opportunity, probably Jun Kasai.
Oh, isn't he going to be in the fucking Best of the Super Juniors?
Yeah, they just added that. That's pretty cool.
It's fucking wild. It's fucking wild, man.
It's cool to see him get that. Yeah.
Cass, we ask all our guests, so I gotta ask you. All right. When was the last time you shit your pants?
Shit my pants?
Yeah, buddy.
Oh God. Dude, I wish I had a funny here I am the bar fight guy. I wish I had a good shit pants story, but I haven't shit my pants in a very long time. I don't know.
Good for you.
Probably since I was a kid. I wish I'm not even being modest. I wish I had one. I'm gonna have to make one in Vegas this week. You know?
No, man, just let it go now. Do it live.
Before I go, I wish I was free. I wish I was free like Mr. California and Juno Caruso. I could just shit, but I can't.
You can. You can.
All you need is a ring.
All you need is a ring.
A shit, not an abortion, Tony.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Gino was pretty bad. I remember I went saw you wrestle once, and then he did the blood, but the blood packet stuck to his forehead.
Hey, you know what, man? When I first broke in, I broke in at NYWC in Deer Park, Long Island. I was trained by Tony Nese, and it took me forever to debut, and they were giving me, like, the rigmarole kind of that you have heat all the time, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, God bless them. I still love NYWC. I still work with them. I'm actually on their show later this month. But Gino Caruso was doing a show at Our Lady of Guadalupe next to my old apartment in Diker Heights, Brooklyn, and gave me my first match. So regardless of how bad the shows are, I always have a place for Gino Caruso.
Can we guess who was on the show?
Go ahead.
What year was it?
2013 or 14?
Was Metal Maniac still around?
No, probably not.
I love Metal Maniac, but good guess.
Was Kodiak Bear back at that point?
I'm pretty sure Crazy Ivan.
Oh, all right. There you go. How about Judas Young? Was he still working for Gino at that point?
No, but the one guy who was like the main event guy when I first started was that guy, the enforcer.
Andrew Anderson. Yes.
Andrew Anderson.
I trained with him when he was the fucking Siberian Tiger many moons before that.
Oh, dude. Here's my question, okay? Anderson. And this is no shade. I'm a worker too. Was he ever in the Fed?
No.
So, but what is he? Somehow he's at every Comic-Con, every signing. You know what I'm saying?
He's a worker.
And Greg the Hammer Valentine, right? Every single signing.
And I
start working myself into a shoot where I go, wait, was he in the Fed? You know, I start to like question myself.
Yeah, Greg Valentine and the other guy he was always hanging around with was Kevin Sullivan. He did all kinds of things.
Well, maybe he was. Was he for a little bit? And then you start to think, he looks it, and you're like, you know? And then I'm like, no.
That's the gimmick, man. Like he looks like he was.
How many clueless parents got an autograph from him, and the kid's like, "Who the fuck is this?" You know, how many times do you think that's happened?
I don't know, man. I love Drew though. He's a hell of a nice guy. Like I said, I train with him. We've had him.
No, I like him. No. I don't mean any disrespect at all. It's just I never. You know, I don't know. You know, like he's on all the shows. No, he's got the old cutter look.
You're 100% right. He looks like a grizzled vet. He really does.
Yeah, and he's always with Greg Hammer and shit. So you're always like, was he there? I don't fucking know.
He was in the wrestler too.
Was he in the wrestler? Yeah.
Oh yeah, he'll tell you all about it.
My good friend Larry Legend was in it too.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Awesome.
You know, Double T and Larry Legend used to have heat.
No. Don't want to get into it?
No. There was we've gone through a couple different versions of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. and there was somebody who was no longer associated with us who under our name was causing problems with Larry.
Because Larry's the best. I love Larry.
He cleared the air a couple years ago because finally I was like, dude, what the fuck is the problem? Like, I have no idea what is going on here. We're good.
Larry, legend.
Larry's great.
Good.
If people show up at the dive bar in Vegas, they're out there for WrestleMania, and they come to your show, like, yes. What is the experience like?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've got two bands, a band from L.A., band from Vegas. They're like new metal bands. I've got these girls called from Freakorama. They're local Vegas. They're going to do go-go dancing. They're going to wrestle in Jell-O. They're going to melt candle on people. So we've got like two like hot female adult performers. We've got music. And then we got bar fights. So it's beer, blood, babes. I like to consider my shows not so much a wrestling show, but a party that wrestling happens at. You know, you're not going to see any poison ranas and Spanish flies. You know, there's not going to be chain wrestling and it ends with a face off. It's just going to be bar, Brooklyn, guzzling beers, some chicks, and a lot of fun. I try to make my shows more, I like to say, wrestling adjacent. It's just a fun party. There's going to be so much good wrestling in Vegas. I'm not even going to try to compete with that. You want to go see real technical wrestling? By all means, there's so much good at that. But if you want to come at 11 o'clock at night on Saturday and you're not going to Mania Sunday, and last hurrah, stay out all night, get drunk with a bunch of the wrestlers, please come out to Murder Mania. And I like to say, we're one of the longest running Mania shows. I've been at every Mania since the last time they did New York. I did 2 days. So a lot of these people come and go, and a lot of people like to pat themselves on the back, but New Free City's running once a month consistently for 6 years. And no one even talks about it. We get no love on the internet, rest of the community. We just do our own thing. We got our own storylines, and we have a lot of fucking fun. So, you know, I like to say, you know, we do a lot of work to make this happen, you know what I mean? So they're fun. Just come out and have fun. It's not so serious. Buy some merch, get drunk. I'll do shots with anybody. So I'm just there to have a good time.
Well, Cass, this was a good time. All your social media has been scrolling throughout your whole appearance at Black Death Cass on the Twitter machine.
Thank you.
Your link tree is in there. Your YouTube, everything is on the screen. So follow Cass. Good luck in Vegas.
Perfect.
And anytime you want to come back and shoot the shit, we'd love to have you, man.
Yeah, you guys are great, man. You know, I just want to say thanks for being patient with me. You guys have reached out to me in the past. It's never lined up. You guys are a hell of a guy. I'd love to do it again. And if you guys could ever be interested in it, I'd love to try to get the New Fear City page some more looks. If you ever want to do like a watch along together, or if you guys want to come to the show in Brooklyn, do a live podcast at one of the shows, it's up to you guys. But I'd love to do some more stuff together. Love to get more involved and more immersion, you know?
Fuck yeah. Absolutely. Definitely. We'll talk after Mania weekend. We'll see what we can do, man.
Awesome. God bless, guys. And thanks so much for having me. I'll see you motherfuckers. Murder Mania. Be there or be dead. All right. Good night, guys.
Good night, Cass. You all, brother.
Be there or be dead.
I like that.
I fucking like that. Be there or be dead.
Well, there's options, which is nice.
Right. Always options. Always options. Okay. Quick to send a message. Thank you. Blast. Fix that audio next time, feller.
What the fuck? Tony just presses buttons now. He's been gone too long.
Look at his jerk off.
Does anyone listen to his podcast? Is that a thing still?
I haven't listened to it.
Let me see. PJ Polacco podcast.
Let's see if there's a...
I do not see anything. Just a Dream to Just Incredible? Is that his podcast or is this...
Oh, that's the book that he was sending to everybody along with that fucking mask.
Oh, the book you never got.
That's the one.
I can't tell if his his Twitter page got hijacked because it's all like, oh, the Incredible Podcast. That's Incredible Podcast, Tony.
Is it a thing?
One week ago, it said, this week we are back.
Back.
After a brief hiatus, Justin, Jay, and Steve are back this week in studio.
Steve. Say my name, Steve.
This fucking pin tweet is still from January 18th, 2021. He's still taking all bookings.
It looks like there might be three episodes out.
Yep. Oh, wait. Justin Credible and Jay Fox, co-hosted and edited by Steve the Sheik. Okay. Bro, all right. Dude. I'm on the YouTube page. It's a three. I have to screen share this. Hold on.
Screen share.
Fuck. Wait. Fuck. Wait. I got to do something. Hold on one second. I'm gonna screen. No. I gotta.
Oh, you're good. I'm looking to see if it's on Spotify.
Well, here. Tell me.
That's incredible.
All right. Here, Gobble Ghoul. What the fuck?
It looks like he found a new vice too. If he starts scrolling through his Twitter.
Hey, handsome Kevin, give me a black screen, so I pull this up. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Share screen. Here we go. All right. Is it shared? Wait. Fuck. I gotta go back to the window. God damn it. Okay. Now, all right. So this is what the show looks like. You notice something like in the middle of the screen there? This is an example of a banner.
Oh boy.
Well, now you would think like, you might think like, oh, somebody didn't catch it. Maybe they thought it was supposed to be there. Maybe they realized it a few minutes in. They said, oh, we got to take that banner down.
Yeah.
Well, let's fast forward to about
it's there for the whole episode.
There it is. An hour six, an hour 10. All right, now I have to see if this is on episode 2 as well. Hold on.
There's only one episode on Spotify.
No, but what about YouTube? There's no second. Oh, wait, here we go. Reactions.
That's incredible.
No, they figured it out.
Okay, they got it. They got it.
All right.
There's good. Steve the Sheik and Jay Fox. There you go.
Why is he the Sheik?
I don't know.
Why does Justin Credible look like Tony Dungy all of a sudden? The fuck happened to him?
That's how are they doing? Are they getting a lot of views?
541 views. Yeah, he's doing okay.
All right, good for them. Good for you. Bless you.
Thank you. Bless you all.
It does look like he's got into the sports betting though a little bit. So that might not be the best.
No, man, he's got actions for all him. All that money he got from, you know, not sending people shit, he'll be fine.
Nah, that money's all gone, bro.
Oh, drugs, right?
No, I'm just saying it's gone. I wouldn't put that out there.
I mean, before he got clean, probably, allegedly.
Yeah.
Mad Mox fan, welcome aboard, brother.
We had the Macho Manitoban, Chris Stara, the sweetest pea. She was on Collision.
Yeah, we'll have her back in a few years when she's seasoned. She'll be better.
We've had a couple Canadians.
In the Burt.
It's so cold in the deep.
The Burt.
Oh, cold in the Burt.
Yeah, man.
AJ's wearing his Blue Jays hat. Is that okay for you Winnipegian people? Winnipegians?
Well, they only have one baseball team left in Canada, so.
Yeah, but if you're in Winnipeg, isn't that closer to Seattle? Wouldn't you root for the Mariners?
No, fuck
no. Them. Winnipeg's just north of me. It's closer to the Twins.
Okay. Nobody wants to root for the Twins.
No shit.
Snowed there. Props to the Twins. It snowed the other night, and the city had a power out, so they extended like $2 beers into the second inning.
Wait, into the second inning?
Yeah, because the stadium had no fucking power.
Wait. So what? $2 beers are only good for one inning? Like, how does that work?
I guess it was a thing they do like before the game starts. I don't know.
Yeah, they do like a pre-party thing. They're trying to get anybody to show up to these fucking games because they know that nobody wants to watch the goddamn team because everybody hates the ownership. Everybody.
Oh. They should bring back the Expos.
I would love that.
Yeah, ship the Twins over there.
The Mad Mox fan said the Blue Jays are our baseball team.
Yeah.
Not the Twinks.
They do $1 dog nights. The first night the Blue Jays did $1 dog nights this year, 90,000 hot dogs were sold.
I thought I heard somebody saying that they you can actually bet on how many hot dogs.
I didn't know that. I would have fucking bet on that too. 900,000 on the year.
I think you were the one that told us that.
Yeah, it's wild, right? Fucking wild. Is there anything else in the
wait? Yeah, hold on. So, Mad Mox fan, we do have a Discord. Our link is available on what?
Our link tree on Twitter?
On our link tree at shiningwizards.com. You should be able to find it. Everybody's hanging out over there. The folks you see in the chat are all over there, including Carnival of Chaos. She's over there too. So come hang out with us. It's cool. It's a cool little environment for folks. We talk wrestling. We talk movies. We talk little exercise and DDP yoga, all kinds of shit. Music, books, comic books.
Yeah, it's fun.
Lots of books, video games.
Bro stuff.
Bro stuff.
We talk about it.
We play. We play Fortnite, but that's a closed group at the moment.
Out there, why would you put that out there?
Because you got to let people dream. Like, oh, I have a dream to join the Wizards playing Fortnite.
That's your fucking dream. I feel bad for you.
No, man, it's fun. It would be fun to hang out with us. The problem is, you know,
that's true. Yeah,
we might be a problem.
Could happen.
Some of us might be a problem.
We are a problem. I don't know. I don't understand how mommy sits there and listens to me, but she could definitely hear you guys through the headset.
Didn't know that.
Oh, for sure.
Dude, how many great clips I have of us playing and I can't use any of them because of certain things.
Yesterday morning, she was sitting in her chair playing her game. And I know she fucking heard taking Easter eggs out of my kid's asshole. Like, oh, and like, I'm done. And I'm like, sorry.
And that's the tame shit, too.
Is there anything else for the WWE you guys wanted to cover? I talked about the Hulk Hogan Netflix thing is coming in a couple weeks. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, his one of his boots from the original WrestleMania, I think, sold for over $1 million.
Yep.
Recently at auction. Yeah. Crazy. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
And I also learned that JBL has the last version of the belt that they introduced. It was the belt that they had between WWF and WWE. You know the one I'm talking about. The Shield one. It's the one that had the McMahon logo on it, the one that Brock Lesnar always wore in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
The one that Eddie Guerrero had. So JBL wound up with it. And he's back hosting Bruce's show again, Bruce Pritchard's show. And they were talking about like the auctions and like the kind of memorabilia that's been showing up. And somebody, Conrad, brought it up that he's got the belt behind him on his shelf. And that's the belt. That's the last version of that belt. Because when Cena brought out the spinner, Layfield held on to it. They did a little story with the two belts and then he just wound up keeping it. And I think the guy from the auction house said that that could easily catch six figures based on the history of it and like identifying it. The fact that JBL, the last guy to hold it, still owns it and it hasn't been passed around like to different dealers and whatnot. That's crazy if you think about it.
That is crazy. It's wild. Yeah. Fucking Joe Tessitore is going to be on ESPN tomorrow morning to announce the WrestleMania lineups.
Interesting.
Like all the matches?
Yes, what night they will be.
Oh.
For that last minute ticket push. We're less than 2 weeks from Mania.
Oh, have you guys talked about it? We've got Sid and we've got Bad News Brown now going into the Hall of Fame. I don't remember if you guys talked about it last week or not.
I don't know if they did. That's a great. Did you guys talk about it last week?
I don't think we did.
Well, Bad News Brown's going in the Hall of Fame. Now, here's the weird thing, right? usually they put in like one deceased wrestler every year, but now these two are going in as part of the I thought like abandoned legacy wing. So does that mean nobody's like inducting them? They're just going to do like a video package and like, you know, we celebrate the career of blah, 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 you know?
I'm guessing so. I'm not 100%. I know the legacy wing is, you know, just for people that have passed away from what I understand, you know, they kind of changed the legacy wing altogether. So I hope there's a little bit more to it than that, because I do think that both Bad News and Sid deserve at least a little bit more than a video package. You know what I mean? Like at least somebody would accept on their behalf or, you know, something going on there. But it wouldn't surprise me if that's all they do.
Did they announce when the Hall of Fame is?
Yeah, it's Friday night.
After SmackDown?
Yeah. No,
probably during SmackDown.
Oh, no, that's SmackDown's 3 hours. Yeah, I don't know. They might move some shit around.
Well, if it's out in Vegas, it's going to be 8 o'clock probably start time when SmackDown's over.
Yeah, and when they did it last year, it went goddamn all fucking night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning my time before it ended. I said I had to tap out.
Now, is SmackDown going to be live or is that going to be taped?
I would imagine it'd be live.
Man, that's an awful lot of shit going on that day.
Dude, yeah. Next week is fucking insane.
Wait, Mania is next week already?
Next weekend.
Oh, fuck me running. Yeah,
this weekend is TNA Rebellion on Saturday, EW Dynasty on Sunday.
Crazy!
And then next week is fucking Mania week. We have, I haven't put this out anywhere. Joey Janela is going to join us next week before the big spring break show.
Sorry, I was trying to hold still to see if Double T thought I was like...
I was doing the same thing. As soon as I picked up you doing it, I was like, nope, I'm in.
Yeah, I saw you. It was you and your bug eyes holding that picture. I couldn't fucking take it anymore. He's wrestling minus one, isn't he?
Yeah, they did a segment this week where he told Amanda, you already had to bury your husband. Don't make me bury your son. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tough promo.
Joey against the little kid and Sandman against the Invisible Man.
Jesus Christ.
I fucking love it. I fucking love it. Next week's going to be crazy. There's wrestling every day, multiple shows, fucking Stranglemania.
Yeah. That's all part of GCW too, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. It's all in Triller.
I thought they were running that because you know the commercials fucking, every fucking week. They're running
track of everything.
What?
You need a scroll.
Oh, is that what that was?
I hurt myself funny on my shoulder, so it hurts.
So keep fucking raising it over your head, you dickhead.
Hey, guess who's back?
I'm coming!
Chris Jericho is back.
I give him credit, man. He looks like he's in really good shape.
Yeah, he does.
He dropped all those LBs that he was packing on as the fucking fudge maker or whatever his gimmick was.
The learning tree.
No, the fudge maker.
No, he's not the fudge maker.
The chocolate chicken.
I don't know what that means, but I love it.
Choke the chocolate chicken.
Instead of Mentos, the fresh maker, Jericho, the fudge maker.
He's back.
Fucking fudge maker.
Now, Tony, I know you hate AEW and AJK.
Fucking A, right?
You're not the biggest fan. But I gotta ask, where does he fit?
I'm far from the biggest fan, even if I was a fan. They got some fucking 1,000-pound motherfuckers in that crowd.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get you a fucking birthday wish from them on camera. where does Jericho fit in the AEW world? Like, I don't know where he goes.
I'm not sure. That's gonna be the most difficult part of all, because like he came back and this return of Jericho felt a lot like, remember that when he came back in WWE and he didn't say shit, it felt the same. You know what I mean? I know he came back and he said, I'm home, and then just left. But that return, it felt very similar. So where does he go? What does he do? I'm sure there's going to end up being a faction somewhere along the way. You know what I mean? Like, there just has to, the learning tree didn't exactly, there was no closure on that situation. So I don't know if that's a route that they take. I have no idea. I don't know that it's hard to say that he doesn't fit. Right, because I think that Chris Jericho's a talent, you know, on the stick, and I'm sure he still can go in the ring, selectively. But I just don't know where it is that he does fall in. Like, he's not, I think he's going after Mox and Mox's title. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, I just don't know where he's going to land. There is a spot for him, but where it is, I don't know where it is. And part of that, to me, is it makes it a little bit more exciting. Like, me not knowing where I could, like, really put him in the show, like where he slides in, like that makes it more exciting, but that also lends it to a bigger spot of potential disappointment. So the whole opening of the show I thought was really fucking weird on Wednesday night.
I was not aware that there was going to be a tag match, like direct, like out came the demand after the Kenny Omega MJF speedball thing, and I'm like, wait, there's still like tables and chairs and shit in the ring. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, yeah, because the shit in the back too with Mox, and yeah, the whole thing was, it was the whole opening of the match was a lot. It was a little fucked up. I didn't like that opening. That's for sure. And then obviously it went from that opening into the fucking six man, which it's a tag match only by name. You know, that's all it is.
Yeah, but I mean, this isn't anything new, though. Like, what do you expect?
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it is only a tag match by name. Like, it's not a tag match. I understand that it's not my style, right? I get that part of it. But it's just not something I get, like, super excited to see. The Brawling Birds, yes or no, they are the Lady Bar.
Ooh, I like that.
Are they not?
Yes.
They have the same mannerisms before they go to the ring, the whole fucking thing. The Brawling Birds are the Lady Bar. I am here for Mina Shirakawa. So. And the Triangle Madness. I'm not upset about the Triangle Madness. I'm not upset about that.
Is that Julia Hart's thing?
Yep.
Yeah. Sky Blue needs a little. She was very clunky in that match.
Yeah.
It's her dumper, dude. It fucking weighs
well, there's a lot of clunky in a lot of these matches. My speedball Mike Bailey can fuck off.
Why?
Why?
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? Do another backflip and drop knees? What am I going to do? Do another backflip and drop some knees? I got an idea. I got a backflip and drop some knees. Oh, karate kick. Backflip, drop some knees. Fuck that guy.
His standing kicks were cool like the first couple of times. And then after a while, it's just like, eh.
He doesn't really have like he doesn't have like a move set. He's got a backflip and drop some knees and stagging kick.
You hey, mean, you know who he's married to, right?
I don't.
Oh, you don't know?
Really?
No. Let's save that for when we talk after next segment.
Yeah. We'll
it'll all make sense when we tell you. But please don't spoil it for him in the chat, people.
Yeah.
MJF is great. I think
Kenny Omega's asshole might fall out if he fucking wrestles MJF.
MJF's hair plugs might fall out, so who knows?
Oh, speaking of MJF, did you guys see the happenings at WrestlePro this past weekend?
Oh, yeah, the 10-year anniversary show. He showed up, and he beat up Patrick Buck.
Kicked him in the dick and fucking yelled. And
that's what you do, kick people in the dick. You know who else came back, Tony? I don't know if you saw this.
Sonny Kiss.
Oh, Sheeta. Sheeta's back.
Hikaru.
Karu. Oh,
I got a.
How's she looking?
She rough. Great.
Really?
Oh, no. I guess she looks really great. Great. Wait,
like, in the ring or just in person? Like, how does she look?
Is she looking like the Freddie Mercury woman?
No. She's
Emi Sakura?
In ring work? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. And you know what? Oh, fuck that, because I watched that this morning. I made it a point to watch Collision this morning. And when I saw her, I was like, hell yeah, I like Sheeta. I'm in. And then she came out and I was like, that's not Sheeta. And I had to go do like a Sheeta from when she won the belt to a Sheeta now. No, there's something doesn't look right.
Sheeta, E-E-A-T-A.
Something's not right there. Something is not right there.
No, she looked great.
Nah, she didn't. You know who did look great though?
The Divine, whatever they're called.
Well, yeah, no shit. But that's not where my head was going.
Okay.
Divine Brown?
Yeah.
Masa Ciampa?
No, no.
Wait, who's Divine who? Divine what? What's
Dominion? Divine Dominion, yeah.
Who, what's her name? Cross and Cross, Megan Bean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. There's a tag team.
Yeah, there is.
Jesus. The fucking, the London Lightning, Lightning London. What the fuck was that kid's name? The jobber in the FTR match on Collision. Oh, it was him and like.
Is it going across the bottom?
Yeah, it's him and, God, what's the other guy's name? I'll fuck it up if I try and remember it.
I know. We're just going to wait. Oh, I could look at Brundo's notes.
It's coming up here. Moxley defeats Bowens.
Divine Dominion. Who? What's her name's in there, huh?
Megan Bates.
No, the other broad.
And Penelope Ford is out.
No, who's the other broad?
Lena Cross.
Oh, she's not bad looking.
London Lightning.
Ooh. London Wait, Lightning, Lena, yeah.
Who's Marion Bruv? Somebody's Marion Bruv.
Alex Windsor.
Oh, that's the other.
Yeah, she's from the Lady Bar.
He's the Brawling Birds.
So that match with FTR versus Mo Jabari, there it is. Mo Jabari and London Lightning. That London Lightning kid, man, for a guy that's coming as an enhancement talent, he looked good. Like he looked like he's gonna be somewhere, and that is one of the coolest things I see when you see these matches with handsome talent. When you see a kid that stands out, and that kid stood out, like he hit all the spots. They were pretty generous to him as a jobber in that match. He did a fantastic job. I was like watching it. I was like, oh shit, wait a second now. This is a kid I can keep my eye on because watching him in the ring, he was smooth. Timing was right. Like it was. He was kind of a high point for me watching Collision, just as somebody I think that, you know, I want to pay attention and see where he goes because I think that there's something there.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, sorry. Yeah. Lena Cross and the Jugs. Sign me up.
Can I tell you what fucking grinds my gears?
I hope you do.
I fucking hate it. Doesn't make no sense to me. Right, we got the fucking Rascals against the Don Callis family. Why the fuck does Myron Reed come out for the entrance and then just go in the back? You're wrestling the fucking Don Callis family
again with this question.
It's fucking drives me crazy. It fucking aggravates the shit out of me.
Stay and yet you continue there. To watch the show.
I've been complaining about this shit for years.
Yeah, for years.
Coming out for years, I've been complaining about this shit. They come out and they stand there, and then the guy goes down, and the guy walks away. It sucks. It sucks, but everybody's got to get their face on fucking camera for the pose.
If you're gonna come out, just come out, stay, watch your homies back.
Yeah, sucks.
Gee, Will, I like Matt. You got a PlayStation. You know, like every time you get an achievement or a cup or whatever they call them, like it makes a clip of whatever you've done, right? I guess. So, like, if you get an achievement like Madden, like you know, I don't know, score 4 touchdowns, the Al Bundy Trophy or whatever. It makes a clip of that, and then you have it like in your media profile. So many moons ago, I was playing a game called AEW. I think it was Fight Forever. That might have been the name of it. So, and I forgot. I haven't played it in so long. Like I spent however many fucking too many dollars on it, and it just sits collecting dust because I was tired of running around an arena as Eddie Kingston trying to punch people with a fucking glowing fist and then just getting my shit punched in anyway. So I'm going through old media files and I started finding all the pictures of like running into Aubrey Edwards at the fucking diner and taking a picture with her. And then running into fucking John Moxley at the airport, mocking me for not packing my suitcase and getting a picture with him.
Having vegan lunch.
And I was like, I'm so glad I didn't fucking play this game ever again. This is fucking stupid. And well, didn't you get it for free, HK? Did you not get it for free?
No. No, goddammit. I paid for the All Elite Ultimate Edition.
Fucking terrible. Fucking God, terrible.
I don't even know if I can share what my wife just texted. I'm not going to share.
Oh, come on. Come on. I
can't do it.
You can't. You can't do that, dude.
Yeah, SJ, Cristara was on the show. That was pretty cool. It's cool to see her.
Stop, HK. Be nice.
You wouldn't say that about your Minnesota friends who've been on the show who were completely boring.
God. Who was the guy that was on the fucking balcony?
Yeah, made fun of my dead mother for 20 minutes. That guy's a real fucking winner. Rich Maxwell, was that his fucking name?
Might have been.
Yeah, I hope he's enjoying his job at fucking Burger King.
Whoa! Oh, whoa! Yeah. Whoa, hey! Happening. Whoa, hey!
What, hey, man, for every 10 Petey Browns, there's one big opossum. That's all I got to say.
Big opossum rules. I like Petey, too.
Yeah, but Petey ate shit when he fucking tried to play Can You Beat That?
Yeah, he did.
You know, people crumble under pressure. He was a nice guy at HK's birthday.
Oh, no, Petey's amazing. I'm just fucking with him.
Dynasty.
I thought he was at the pay-per-view a couple of weeks ago, but he was bigger in Puerto Rico.
Dynasty this Sunday, AEW, which means we'll have picks.
Great. I'm going to extend that lead, baby.
Right now, we only have 6 matches announced, but I'm sure there'll be
Don't
more.
Don't worry. Next Saturday, they'll announce the other 14.
Yeah, ooh. We'll be up to 23 by show start.
We'll have to wait. I'll fucking, they gotta figure, like, WWE needs to do, like, they could do, like, 5 matches. They could throw in another match, maybe 6.
Right? I think 5-6 matches are perfect. Right? Yeah.
Especially because they're all half an hour apiece.
Yeah, AEW can go down to, like, 7. Like, I don't need 13 with a pre-show. Like, I need balance. Give me some balance.
I think
5.5 hours in, I'm exhausted. I forgot what I just fucking watched.
Even with those shows, like, it's not bad having like a handful of matches. Do your, you know, 10 to 14, right? And then have one match go for your half hour. You know what I mean? Like, just getting that balance of one big time, you know, longer match is fine.
I do it. Look, if it's 6 and they end up at 8, I'll be fucking thrilled.
Wait. Sheeta came back and they fucking jobbed her to Willow Nightingale already.
Yep.
She teased she was going to hit Willow with the kendo stick. We might be getting, and it wasn't a job. Willow stole the victory.
Yeah, but still, give Sheeta a fucking match against fucking like Kristara or something. Let her get built up a little bit.
Well, it was an open challenge. A big surprise. She's back, Tony.
Oh, big surprise. Fucking AEW and their surprises could all eat a shit.
She does not look the same. God damn it.
All right, I thought she looked fine.
Hikaru Shida now.
So me and Tony were talking the other night playing the video games. Tony was not happy with JCW Lunacy. I thought it was a fine show this week. I enjoyed the shit out of it. I love the chicken tickle. Let me tell you. The chicken tickle, fantastic. Right into the finisher. Brothers of Funstruction fucking rule. I took copious amounts of notes for fucking JCW and the homework.
Jesus.
HK, I see what you mean. She looks a little sickly.
Yeah, I told you there's something not right there.
She doesn't look like Kabuki Asian pale. She looks like I just had the fucking flu and I fucking yacked all over myself or whatever you call it.
She doesn't look as trim either.
She's not in ring shape, it doesn't look like.
Right.
I think she might also be wearing white pantyhose, which is kind of throwing me off too.
Yeah, me too.
There you go. Sorry, Double T. I had to bring that to the people.
No, it's okay.
That was important. I do love me Disco Ray.
Disco Ray, him and the Ring Rat are so much fun together. No,
I didn't hate the show. You know what I hated. You know what I hated about
Was it the Rusey finale?
It wasn't even so much like that Russo came out and shook his head, but that's a whole nother thing, because it's like, if you really wanted Violent J to be your fucking partner again, just fucking say, hey, we're partners. Like we could have avoided all this. Why give Vito even a chance? Right?
Vito took it too far. He took advantage and then he thought he was bigger than he was. So Vince Russo put him in place. He tried to fucking finagle his way into owning JCW. He jumped and fucking Stephen Flo needs to see my dentist, buddy. Those teeth need to fucking come out, brother.
Yeah, they're rough.
Oh my God, you got a couple can openers in there. I can't believe he fucking shook Big Vito's hand.
That surprised me.
Who, Stephen Flo? Stephen Flo, he's like, he doesn't feel like he belongs with cocaine anymore.
Well, he don't belong with anyone now. He's a fucking loser.
I liked Alice Crowley in the J-Rod match. I like how she was going to kiss her ass and fucking J-Rod fucked her all up.
Badge. I did not understand why J-Rod would do push-ups on her to pin her. Wouldn't she be exerting more energy doing that? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, the thrust downward, like when you drop your weight. I don't know. What the fuck do I know?
And then why would she go to the top rope? She's not a high flyer. She's a fucking muscle lady. Use your power. What are you doing on the top rope, you dummy?
Speaking of power.
Yeah.
So we get to the match itself. Whatever, six man. Whatever.
Tony, just for you. Before J-Rod, Big Al, I wrote the ring girl, Christ. The one with the black tape over her nipple.
See, I got no problem with that.
All right.
Did you see the one that looked like a good
Okay. The one you talked about last week with the fucking it could have been one of our wives like coming in from like the cold.
He did the first match, right?
Yeah. No, she did two matches, didn't she?
Yeah, I think she did
two matches. They brought her back for an encore. Oh. I said, we got a good one here.
And in my notes, of course, HK married to Mike Bailey, Veda Scott, she sucks.
Yep.
Well, that makes perfect fucking sense.
I think there's
perfect like a, fucking sense.
There was like a reverse atomic drop, and she just went, whoa.
Yep.
I was like, that's what you're bringing to the fucking table. And they keep fucking using her.
Miserable.
So Big Vito took out Violent J, Too Tough Tony, and poor Willie Mac. Poor Willie Mac. One less cheeseburger, brother. You'll be all right.
Hey, trust you me. Leave him alone. He's getting paid to sit home by Tony Khan.
Everybody in that group could have one less cheeseburger.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Too Tough Tony. He's like, I like the guy. We had him on the show. Great guy. We had Madman Pondo on the show, but he's like one gear above Madman Pondo at this point.
They're older.
I get it. But nobody is old and beat up and fucking broken down like fucking Mr. Jam on his face himself, Violent J. When he came fucking gimping out, and he fucking goes to the corner, and he fucking gingerly wraps his loving arms around Big Vito gently cradles him down into the crib.
No.
It was fucking horrendous.
Fucking miserable. And why? So why is it that
horrendous?
Here's the team. We've been the whole storyline, and here's the team. We got the team for fucking Violent.
Yeah, I'm coming out of retirement.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, no, that's not the team. But Vince Russo has found another team to fill in this fucking convoluted bullshit storyline.
But I didn't mind the team that he put together. Impressive team.
Not bad team. Not a bad team
at all.
But why did we go through the whole fucking walkthrough of this is going to be the team? These are the guys.
Because those are Violent J's guys. Too Tough Tony and the Chocolate fucking Juggalo. That's his guys.
Of course.
Bro.
Yeah. Horrible. And then fucking he comes limping out there I was very frustrated. I was very frustrated.
The Slaughterhouse remix of Chicken Hunting is a song to get fucking hyped up. Like, we're going to fucking cause chaos. We're going to cause problems. When everybody and their grandmother's in the ring celebrating to that song, it kind of loses its feeling.
Shut up. You've never been to a fucking ICP concert. Family, Chicken Hunting. It's vibing. Come on.
And Vince Russo on the stage clapping. He's happy for Violent J that he lost control of the company. Like, what the fuck?
Who's happy?
Vince! He gave him props.
He's partners with Joe Bruce again.
Oh, yeah, enough with the Joe shit. He's Violent J.
Did you? They recapped the whole
fucking hand job. Joe and Phil in the fucking text messages. Fuck all the way off with you two. Joe and Phil, like they're your fucking boys or something.
And next is going to be called Hulk Terry.
How's Terry doing? Is he pushing up daisies yet, the poor guy?
Yeah. Stephen Flo. He turned his back on cocaine, so cocaine being in the match makes sense. The shit with Mr. Anderson and...
Oh, wait, time out. Hold up, time out. How do they have his name as C-O-K-A-N-E when they announce him, when he comes out, when it's on the little marquee on the screen, but his fucking t-shirt is spelt like the drug?
Same reason why they got suicide and suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide at some point.
Caleb Conley's screaming about he's looking for Matt Cross. Vince Russo's not here. And then Matt Cross attacks him in the ring. And who comes out with the police? Fucking Vince Russo.
Yep. That's twice this fucking last couple episodes they did that.
Right? Fucking Big Vito was in Mr. Anderson's face. So there's history there. Facade and Nick Nemeth, there's history there. It made sense.
I got to tell you, though. You're making fun of fucking Stephen Flo. Facade could use that same fucking dentist.
Yeah, Neon Ninja.
Fuck yeah. He's got the Mike Bailey thing going on, too. He fucking slaps them buck teeth in.
It's a mouth guard.
Whatever. He looks like a fucking tard. He's like, I'm praying for better teeth.
Well, again, it's JCW, so I'm not expecting.
No, I'm not either. I'm just picking nits. That Violent J cradling a fucking Big Vito just really annoyed the shit out of me.
It was fucking miserable.
Really was. And enough with the fucking doors. Just buy a fucking table or don't do the spot.
Doors are cheaper, Tony.
Who gives a... You know what's cheaper? Neither one. Don't buy them. Just have Violent J fucking just spear them. That's it.
What's going to break their fucking fall?
He's gently going to place him down on the canvas.
He already did that.
I am happy this is over.
What's next? This is going to be like Endgame. The fucking fucking Juggalo cinematic universe is going to collapse after this episode.
Oh, come on. I want to see fucking the Green Phantom.
Dude, it's been 3 fucking months.
And I want to see Father Bronson. I want to see Red Love.
Oh, the black dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, that character I'm feeling. The green fucking vomit guy. Fuck off.
Oh, I want the Green Phantom.
I want more Disco Ray. I want more Ring Rat.
Yeah, Disco Ray and the Ring Rat. Once you go black, you never go back, Ring Rat. Just know that.
He got to get rid of them B-cups he's got, though. My man's got to do a couple push-ups.
Props to HJK, too. Handjob Kyle. He likes the Ring Rat, too. Tony, where are you in the Ring Rat?
I told you, man. I'm down.
Okay. Because I thought HK's out.
I'm on.
If she gave me the old, I'd be all right with that. Yeah. Why not? Like, she was paralyzed, you know, and HK mocked her for it.
I did no such thing.
That's not nice. Should have gave her the handicap t-shirt.
I mocked her? What did I do? Stand up?
No, you rolled around your office while you did the show.
No, I said, you know, she was paralyzed for a while, too. He goes, oh, great.
I believe I said undiagnosed, Tony.
Well, that too. Holy shit.
Hey, just in case anyone cares, TNA has a pay-per-view Saturday.
Whatever.
No, not whatever. Come on, Nick Nemeth is going. You know who's in Nick Nemeth's corner for this paper?
Oh, I know this, and I forgot who the fuck it was.
Come on. Don't look it up, HK. You got to guess.
No, right, I'm not looking up. I was changing banners.
HK, Cleveland Browns football
player. Oh, yeah. Who the fuck?
Johnny Manziel.
Go back further. Same position, though.
Bernie Kosar.
Yep. Fucking nailed
it. Nice. Man, he just had fucking like a kidney replacement or some shit.
Isn't he like 70?
Yeah, he's an old guy.
Fucking Bernie Kosar.
He's going to be in Nick Nemeth's corner against AJ Francis.
Fuck that guy.
He's going to turn on fucking Nick.
Oh, you think so?
Nick Nemeth couldn't even be Facade. He's going to beat AJ Francis.
Hey, he won the fucking giant Juggalo.
And fucking Vito, right?
That's because Violent J fucking gently placed him in the center. I forgot.
Yeah. Woo woo.
Like fucking marshmallows colliding in space.
It's like the scene in Airplane 2 where the two guys get sucked out of the airlock and they're just dancing in fucking space.
I gotcha.
Holy shit.
I would not pay for this pay-per-view. Just saying it now.
Well, we're not picking it, so who gives a
No, we're not picking it, but, you know, it's wrestling. But, I mean, I haven't watched TNA since it's been on. What's it on?
AMC. Oh,
AMC. I haven't watched it, and I don't know.
I think it's on Roku as well, if you got, like, the Roku gimmick.
I don't.
I think they have a TNA channel on Roku. I don't know.
Yeah, if they do.
Funny MC.
Tubi, yeah, Tubi, one of them. Tubi might have a TNA channel where it just shows old TNA.
There's a channel that shows 1,000-pound sisters all the time. It's Tubby.
Hey, do you guys want to do a blind ranking before we do homework?
Yes. And I'm going to do you one better.
Oh.
Give us the topic, and I'm going to blind rank your blind ranking. I'm going to have no idea who you mention, and I'm going to rank them 1 to 5, and then you're going to give me the reveal at the end. So let HK do it normally, but when you say this is the first person, I'm not going to listen to the name, and I'm just going to rank that person where
I'm going. So you're just going to go first?
No, because you have to talk about it. When you're done talking about it, I'll come back, and I'll just blindly rank that person. Is this too cerebral?
No, but you're going to know who it is at that point.
No, I'm going to take my AirPods out.
All right.
Interesting.
What's the topic?
My blind ranking. ECW theme songs.
Oh, all right. This is a perfect one.
Not from that shitty fucking ECW CD.
Well, then how the fuck am I supposed to know what they are?
I'm going to tell you what.
Wait, they are. WWE CW themes? Like, we getting Zack Ryder, CM Punk, Test?
When Paul Heyman was using licensed music that he shouldn't have been using, okay?
You know what? Then fuck it. I'm not doing blind to blind rankings then. I really want to fucking do this one. Let's do this.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
I'll tell you the song, the band that performed it, and who it was for. We're coming in hot to start. Walk by Pantera for Rob Van Dam.
I'm going 3. There's too much good music in ECW, and Walk is not one of my favorites. I'm going to go 3.
All right. That's going to go 1 for me.
Oh, fuck off, HK.
I'm not a giant Pantera fan, but I am a giant fan of that album. And that song was just hearing Rob Van Dam, like, have him coming out to that, the whole presentation, fucking amazing. I love the song. If I didn't love the song as much as I did, I'd probably drop it down a little bit, but yeah, it's fucking amazing. So yeah, 1 right away.
All right. Coming right at from go. Beck, Loser, Mikey Whipwreck.
That's a 5 for me.
This is going to be tough.
It fits the gimmick. It's a good song for Mikey, but I just don't feel it.
Another one I really like.
I love the song. I think really it fits perfectly. Song.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they can put it at 5 just because of my love for Beck. So I'm going to go 4.
All right. Back in Black, AC/DC, Chris Candido.
That's going 4 for me. There's too many other good songs that I know you got floating out there, and you probably have one that you think is like a fucking dog, and I'm probably going to love it. So Chris Candido gets 4, Back in Black.
5 for me. Not an AC/DC guy. Fuck off.
Hey, Double T, do you remember the time we sang Chris Candido to the ring at Don Bosco and Patterson because the fucking audio wasn't working?
Yes, and Sabu came. Yes.
He looks up at us, and we were like in the crow's nest in this gym at Don Bosco because we were all going, ba-na-na-na-na-na. And he just fucking looks up, and he looks at us, and he just starts doing this shit when he was walking to the ring. It was so fucking good.
All right, so Tony, you have 1 and 2 left. HK, you have 2 and 3 left. War Machine by Kiss or Taz.
That's a fucking killer. That's a killer. I'm going 2 because I have a feeling you're going to fucking give me a golden child for 1. Kiss, yeah. Fucking like the menace that he was, the fucking pounding of the bass drum, coming out with the towel on with Team Taz behind him. Fuck yeah.
I love this. I like Kiss. I love the song. Love Taz. Love the presentation with him, especially like the way he walked to the ring and how that music flowed with him. Amazing presentations. Yeah, I'm going to go 2 on that.
All right.
All right. So Tony's 1 and HK's 3.
Enter Sandman, Metallica.
Fuck yes, Sandman. Fuck yes, I knew it. Fuck yeah, completely love my list once again.
Yeah, I have no fucking problem with my list. No problem.
So Tony's got Enter Sandman, War Machine, Walk, Back in Black, Loser, HK.
Perfect list.
HK's got Walk, War Machine, Enter Sandman, Loser, and Back in Black. Yeah. So a lot of songs, like Natural Born Killers was an option.
I was wondering if you were going to pull that one out.
Bam Bam using Welcome to the Jungle.
Honestly, I what was the one you mentioned before that? Before Welcome to the Jungle? Natural Born Killers.
Breathe for Al Snow.
Yeah, but it's Natural Born Killers. It you can make an argument for that to be number one as well.
Yeah.
Oh, even my
God. I mean, fucking Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck, Prong for PJ. Just incredible.
I do love that song too.
It's a fucking great song. Great song. The fucking Staying Alive by Entrance.
Oh my God. The fucking FBI. Fuck yeah. Even if you went old school, Fly Me to the Moon, Dean Martin, I would have fucking loved that one too.
Yeah, for fucking JT Smith, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking Let Me Clear My Throat for the Meanie.
Here come the hot step.
Public Enemy, yeah.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. Fucking Just a Little Crazy by fucking Fight for Sabu. There's a lot. Man in the Box. Perfect Strangers.
Come Out and Play.
Yeah, it was hard to find like five.
Right.
No, but I love my fucking list.
And I love Blind Rankings.
You know what else I love, Double T?
What'd you love, buddy?
I love Homework.
So Brundo sent me his review. Just so you know.
Cart Before the Horse. Fucking love this Homework. I can't even fucking, like, I have to just put that right on the fucking, right out there. This was a six man. This is from Houston Wrestling, June 8th, 1984, I believe it was. Was it August 6th? I don't know. Whatever it's listed here. So we got Jim Duggan and the Rock and Roll Express against Ernie Ladd and the Midnight Express, of course, with James E. Cornette at ringside.
Bro. Ernie Ladd is fucking enormous.
Yeah, he is. He's fucking gigantic. And I was surprised when I first saw him taking bumps. But then it's like, hey, Ernie Ladd understands business. And when you're in there with like the Rock and Roll, you're in there with Jim Duggan. These guys are fucking molten hot. You fucking sell for him. He didn't sell everything. You know, Ricky Morton tried the shoulder tackles and he was fucking getting mauled. But he fucking was selling drop kicks. He was selling everything, man. I loved it.
I loved like little things like Bobby trying to get Ricky to come into his corner. And Ricky's like, I'm not falling for that. The fucking way the crowd reacted every time a face hit a heel with just a single punch or a drop kick, like huge. It was, as Brundo says, because this was his homework. This match is a perfect example of when so little gets such a huge reaction. One drop kick to Ladd from Ricky and the place explodes.
Oh my God. Early on when it's Bobby Eaton and Ricky Morton in the ring and Ricky Morton backs him up in the corner. Bobby backs him in the corner. He's going for the clean break. Bobby goes to throw the fist. He blocks it, retaliates, and the crowd fucking goes nuts. Or even the one point, I think it was Dennis Condrey wound up in their corner, and they all just fucking started wailing on Dennis Condrey.
Shit out of him.
Complete heel shit. Complete heel shit, and the crowd goes nuts.
And Bobby goes to break it up, and then you're like, he does like a fucking about face, like a cartoon, and tries to sneak away, and then he gets fucking beat up. It was fucking fantastic.
Fucking and the way they were so quick, just sneaking in, especially when it came to the, first of all, whoever thought that Jim Duggan was going to be the fucking face in peril, even for a couple of minutes in this fucking match? I was like, what's going on? And then Ricky Morton eventually fell into it, but my God. And there was no hot tag. There was no hot tag. The faces were finally like, fuck this. And it was a fucking Donnybrook.
The Ernie Ladd double leg drop.
Oh my God. He fucking did that twice.
What the fuck? How are you going to like tell him no too?
He's a big motherfucker. My God, he's a monster of a man.
There was One thing I think that really stuck out to me in this match, and it was the crowd reaction. And it was the crowd was hot throughout, and I think we've said it before on the show, like, cool, you can do a, you know, triple backflip and land on your feet, but like, make me care about why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And in this match from, was it 1984? Everybody cared about what was happening in the ring because they cared about the participants. You know what I mean? Like, it was fucking amazing. I loved seeing punches and kicks. Yeah. And people selling punches and kicks. I love tags. I love when things broke down. It made sense why they broke down. Like, this was a lot of fun. The one thing I didn't like, give me commentary. Just give me some fucking commentary. Like,
yeah, but
I love commentary. So like, not having commentary and like watching it was just fine watching it. Didn't, and then the lighting was a little bit off. So the video quality left something to be desired. But outside of that, like, again, like, the fans were there. They cared about what was happening in the ring. They cared about what was happening to the faces. It was from that standpoint, it's fantastic. And sometimes I think I'm guilty of this too, is overanalyzing what's going on. Overanalyze, because if it's working or not working, the what'll tell you is the fucking audience. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's going to tell you if it's working.
Yeah.
And it worked the entire fucking match.
And so many silly spots too, like fucking Ernie Ladd taking fucking arm drags.
Dude, he took a fucking backdrop from Duggan.
Yes, he did.
What is the backdrop? What do you think that's like? Fucking Duggan with backdrop was Ernie Ladd.
Yeah, and if you notice early in the match when Ricky Morton was in with him, he actually got he got an Irish whip off. It wasn't an automatic reversal. He fucking took the Irish whip. There was that. Fuck, there was another one too.
Duggan with the giant, like, jumping double fist, like, not a double axe. Didn't bring
it
together.
And he's punching again. Yeah.
The fucking giant Donkey Kong fucking punches he's throwing.
He did Hacksaw. He did Hulk up mighty quickly. My question is, where was Robert? We didn't see Robert until like the almost 15 minutes into the match. It was all Ricky and Duggan.
No, Robert was in the beginning a little bit.
I thought he was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot of Ricky early. Robert's fucking milking the clock. He's got Duggan with him to do the work.
Well, then again, Robert was always the hot tag guy anyway. So, you know, after the first go. Oh, that was it. This is like 2026 me would be like, what the fuck? But like, in the context of this match, I think it was Ricky Morton was down and Dennis Condrey goes for the cover, 1-2 kick out. Bobby Eaton jumps on him, 1-2 kick out. Dennis Condrey jumps on him again, 1-2. And I'm yelling, why is he counting both of them? And then it's like, fuck it. It's fucking Houston wrestling.
I put it in my notes. I hate that the ref counted when the illegal man covered Duggan.
It snapped in my head. I wanted to be so angry. I was like, fuck it, I'll allow it. Let's do it.
But the crowd was going nuts.
Yeah. That's
exactly what I was going to say. Like, at a certain point, you just go, okay, well, this is, even if you hate it, it's fucking working because the crowd's telling you it's fucking working.
And the referee did a good job, too, not seeing anything going on behind his back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody grabbed a hold of him, he went right with him. He gave him the old what for. He told him to get out of the ring. He fucking yelling at Bobby while Dennis and Ernie are beating the shit out of somebody. Good shit. They're
trying to fucking smash Duggan's head into the turnbuckle, and Duggan fucking noggin knocks them both.
Yep. Or there was one point, too. Ricky Morton, I forget. I think he was in the ring with Bobby. And he fucking gets Bobby down and he takes a cheap shot at Dennis, but doesn't take a cheap shot at Ernie Ladd. It was like little things like that, you know? It's like, fuck that guy. I'm not messing with you. I love this shit, man. I loved it. The finish. Where did the spray come from that went to the finish? I kind of, it kind of got lost to me.
Yeah.
Well, I figured it did, but.
Because the camera was Ricky. Gigged himself, right? Like, the camera clearly caught him gigging himself when they were outside.
Oh, because he also got hit with the chair too, didn't he?
Yeah, but he gigged himself before that, so when he got hit with the chair, he came up. But you couldn't, the camera was so grainy. I mean, to be fair, this is 42-year-old footage.
And was it legit footage? Like, this was like legit cameramen too, yeah? This wasn't like a fucking home camcorder.
Yeah, I don't know what they did if it ever turned into like a
they put commentary to it. I don't know what they did with it.
And Ernie Ladd had the fucking gimmick too. He was beating the shit out of Duggan.
Yeah.
I love that shit, man. Fucking the old wrestling I was watching, like from the 70s, the championship wrestling. Fucking Baron Mikel Cicluna. He was fucking always did that shit, hiding it from the ref, sticking in his tights, put it in his hand, not looking. And when the referee caught him, he's like, fuck you, ring the bell, disqualifies him. I love that shit. Love it. So easy. So easy to get heat with that shit. This is two thumbs up for me, man.
Yeah. This was Brundo's.
Oh, yeah. Brundo's notes. Yeah.
I do want to read his notes. Ladd is bumping like crazy. He's probably 50 and retired in another 2 to 3 years. Great finish that would absolutely bring the fans back. Two thumbs up. Note on Condry. Cornette said Dennis was the leader of the Midnight when he was there. Think of how many classics they had because of how great his wrestling IQ was. Yeah, Condry bumped like a motherfucker for Duggan.
Yeah.
Or Bobby did. I'm sorry. Bobby did. Bobby bumped like a motherfucker. I love it. It was so such a simple...
And it didn't feel like 20 minutes either.
No, it was so simple. All the simple referee distractions and the heels getting the upper hand and when, and the anticipation is building. When are the faces going to get the hot tag? When the hot tag never came.
Yeah.
But we got the Donnybrook and then Cornette.
Yeah, because the faces said enough is enough. And sometimes that's enough to get the crowd to go fucking nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And the fucking extracurriculars to bring the fans back, the fucking chloroform on fucking Ricky and, you know, beating the shit out of him with the fucking racket. They won, but they got fucking mauled.
Now, who? Magnum was one of the guys. Who was the other guy? Was that Gino Hernandez?
Let's see who was on the card. I have the card here.
Oh, you have the card. Good.
You got Steve Williams and Barry Orton. That was a match. Buddy Landell, Mark Reagan, Sonny King and Masao Ito. Crusher Khrushchev and Jay Youngblood were on the show. Hector Guerrero in a Mexican death match beat Jose Lothario. That went 20 minutes. Oh, Magnum TA, Mr. Wrestling 2. It was for the North American title. So that's the whole card. Yeah.
Maybe that was Hector with
probably Hector
with Magnum.
Probably
the save.
Or maybe Jay Youngblood. I don't know.
He had like short hair. I don't know. It was grainy. I did notice Magna. I wanted to know who made the save.
Yeah, there wasn't much that went along with the YouTube video.
Right. But yeah, I'm with you, Tony. Two thumbs up for me.
Fuck yeah, way up.
Yeah, I'm up.
So we got 8 thumbs up on this thing? I fucking love it.
Yeah, I'm assuming Brundo gave thumbs up. He didn't put in his notes.
He didn't give his rating. What a dick. He gave it 2 thumbs down.
No.
We'll mock him next week when he comes back.
HK, what do you got for us, buddy?
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I have 3 options.
Sid.
Sid
squashes.
I'm just going to tell you right now, Sid is not on the option.
Boo.
Not on the option. All right, Double T. You want to go 0, 3, or 6?
What?
That's what I got left on the options.
Let's go 6.
Good call.
6. So we're going to be traveling to No Way Out 2006.
Ooh.
And we're going to be seeing one Kurt Angle.
Ooh.
Take on The Undertaker.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good pick.
Yeah, it is. Is this American Badass Undertaker?
2006. I think he's out of Badass by then.
He's not. You've done it now.
You touched my bow.
Your wife punched the shit out of you and yelled anything for my best bro.
It's my special gal.
Holy shit. So we got Joey Janela's next week.
Joey Janela next week. We will know the Knights, WrestleMania night 1 and 2 cards. We'll have Dynasty reactions.
What, you like that? Dynasty bro?
Bro. And then whatever else happens this week, who knows? This could be a crazy week.
Hey, over and under on Jericho forming a stable at Dynamite at the fucking pay-per-view this weekend.
Ooh. Like, it's too quick.
Yeah.
Wait, are Edging, are fucking Cope and Dope fucking wrestling for the tag titles this weekend?
Wrestling FDR, yes.
Oh, my God. Jericho, Cope, and Dope. That's the new fucking stable.
Thursday night, my buddy Jabo, who is not even, I wouldn't even call him a casual wrestling fan. He'll stop by sometimes to watch the Royal Rumble. Text me out of nowhere. Flipped on Collision. Edge and Christian, what the fuck? That's what it read.
No, I mean, the Hardys are still working, so there you go.
Yeah, they defend the tag titles Saturday against Brian Myers and Bear Bronson.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to go.
Yeah, LOD 3000.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yes.
All right. I think we have a full house next week, right? Everyone's back?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be here.
I'll be here.
Brundle will be back.
All right.
Well, Tony,
and I'll do the fucking thing. And with that, go ahead.
Cue the music.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We would like to thank those that support us through our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardpodcast. Executive producer Manny Kratzo, producers Kate Hensler, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, PC Elwell, Emily Brock, Michael Hammond, Keith Parker, I Dunk Biscuits, and David Henry Bauer III. There's a free tier on that Patreon. Go to patreon.com/wizardpodcast for the free Patreon tier. It's free.
Good night, Diana. Who the fuck is that? Is that Kate?
Sometimes it's just a magnificent pile of shit.
Oh, Final Four.
Because that ass was different than the ass that we saw previously.
That's right, Tony. The greatest guest tournament. We're down to our Final Four. Oh, my God. Jeez Louise. We fucking almost right. I didn't write it down in my notes. What an asshole. Final Four is Dan Barry against Apron Bump Kyle. Kate against Alec Price. Voting is Tuesday and Wednesday. You'll have 5 days to vote on Twitter to find out who will play in the championship game next week.
Yeah, vote, people.
Please, Jesus Christ, vote. Fucking please.
Please vote.
Please vote. Jesus Christ.
You don't need voter ID to vote either.
Nope. You son of a bitch.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, gravy.
What the fuck is that? I thought that was Kate.
That pedophile.
Really? Pedophiles? Is that what we're doing?
Nay.
Well, time to go spelunking.
Not let's put him out of his pain. All the things that could have come through.
Come?
I had to reset the clock. That was the end of that episode. His father's Magic Johnson. I don't have AIDS, so I'm doing pretty well. It's still a story. Writing that down.
This is fucking creepy. All right. Yeah.
What is that?
I'm hitting the button. Fuck.
What is it? Is that Sable?
It's fucking Nightmare Fuel is what it is.
Fucking nailed it.
No thanks. No, thank you. Good night, Diana. See you later.